You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Woo! Lord of Mercy 701. We're a little tardy, but we got here. Nevertheless, it's a Tuesday evening. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk America. Thank you for joining us. In studio with me, I was going to try to do it in a Chelsea Handler intro, but I didn't know where you guys were going to be appearing, so I'll just say, appearing in an angry office complex near you, Buddy Early.
Appearing daily.
Appearing daily. Appearing during a payroll disputes, Marnie Ryer.
Every 2 weeks, I'm right here for you.
And serving attitude and chicken fried steak at the restaurant, ladies and gentlemen, Al Perkins.
Yes, a delicious cut of meat.
Indeed.
Nicely done.
Oh, I like the fact that during this Olympic time you use the word cut of meat. I think that's...
Yeah, there are some good cuts of meat.
No, I have handouts. I keep telling you people, I have handouts. I have special handouts for Marnie because I didn't know what to print for her.
Why is it so confusing?
I go with beach volleyball for Marnie, am I right?
Okay.
I'm going to play the odds.
Well, I'll be handy.
Yeah, I'm not happy with the little caps that the girls are wearing for water polo. So,
yeah, there's a telethon joke in there. I'm sure of it.
It's not okay.
I agree. Mom
it really is not okay.
Mom and I were watching. I was at her house. On Sunday, and they were on the men's water polo was on, and they just look stupid. But I figured the only reason they have to wear them is. If you wear a uniform below the water, you can't see who your teammates are, so you have to have it's a color thing.
Yeah.
But what's the deal with the ears?
What's the ears? That's my
deal. I think that's just to keep from constant watering. As someone who just suffered from water in the ears, it might be something like you're getting splashed around, and we don't need constantly having people have their ears flushed.
Sure.
Okay, but the bend over shots, I just fast forward till they score and you see the people on the sidelines cheering.
Yeah.
Or when they swap out a team player that has to bend over and grab his towel. It's vulgar, but I have to do it. They're lovely.
Some of the women aren't. And in full HD, holy mother.
Oh, that diving. I got to tell you, that diving was a very, very special time in my home.
were you alone?
The American boys were cute. The British boys that were going for the gold and failed. They were just trying to medal.
It really
the
is about competitive
favorites.
Sport kind of stuff, but
yeah, but they're all not, they're just they're it's just the peak of
they're,
like
they're pretty.
Of their physicality, like it's all that God the body was meant to be, and the divers are so trim, like it's not artificially bulked.
It's ridiculous,
up.
Really.
They're just sublime. I think methinks
right.
Methinks they're not, sublime.
They're not abnormally tall like that one swimmer.
Grievers.
Oh, but
he's like 6'8", 6'9".
And what's now? Because I don't want to look it up. What is the guy's name that took silver with him?
Nick Thoman.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And by the way, I'm going to throw this out right now in case we should randomly get a phone call. We are doing no spoilers on this show.
No spoilers.
Yeah. We're on lockdown.
If you know something about the Olympics tonight, shut your fucking mouth.
Don't put it in the chat room.
No, we'll find you.
Yeah. Our sports update is from 3 days ago. I'm going to read it.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be from as early as yesterday, but that's about it.
The physical pain it's causing me to not be home watching the games tonight is...
You'll get there.
I know. I will. Yeah, and I'll remain ignorant of all facts until then. Yes. Like I always am when talking on here, ignorant of all facts.
We rare facts
devoid
sparingly.
Of the facts.
Like the disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly. That is true. That is true.
And one other order of business I'd like to take care of, just to get this out of the way, and I think if you don't understand this by listening to us now for 3 months we've been doing this, we are not politically correct in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
Has someone bitched about that?
If you have an issue with what's said, whether you think it's offensive or not, that's why there's other webcasts, other channels, and your smartphone has an off button.
Yeah.
So if you want to bitch about our show and you don't like what we say, then turn it the fuck off because we really don't care.
In 1 week, I missed something.
And
I
need to do a fact check that we got wrong a couple weeks ago.
Ooh.
So people that are listening, it was actually Al Michaels that was the caller for the.
Isn't that what you said?
No, I was saying it was Jim McKay who came
in
the booth.
Yes, you're right.
He called the game after, but it was Al Michaels with the famous call.
You're right.
And somebody's got to help me with another name because God forbid I look anything up. He is the famous speed skater from the 80s.
Eric Heiden.
Apollo Anton Ono.
Yeah.
Eric Heiden.
Eric Heiden,
wanted to get a ticket, and he was the Michael Phelps of 1980.
Yeah,
like he was
absolutely.
The biggest star of the day. Wanted a ticket for that game just to be supportive. There was no one thought they would win, but
sure.
He was friendly with all of them. I guess they had practiced together at several times. He wanted to be there to be supportive, and he was unable to get a seat in the arena. It was one of the most, because it was at Lake Placid.
Oh, sure.
It was one of the most popular sports going. The tickets had long since gone, and there was no star power then. Like, you couldn't fuck anybody to get a chair. So he sat behind them in the broadcast booth for the entire thing with a shitty seat.
I did not know that.
And they kept sending messages for him down to let the team know that you can't see me, but I am here, because he thought was so on their side, and he thought he was going to be there for their defeat and be moral support. Sure. Like, what a great game you played. And then he was so excited that A, he was there, he was pissed off that B, he couldn't see a fucking thing. And whenever they would cut to the thing, they had to hide him because they didn't want to take away from the calling. So the few times that they did cut to the guys in the booth, he would have to hide.
Oh, no.
And they could never say it. So it was an interesting interview I read this week with Al Michaels. Talking about calling that game, and that he never thought of that phrase beforehand.
Right.
And that he couldn't repeat it. When they did the movie, he recalled the game for the movie, the entire thing. But when it got to that line, they went to his old tape. Because he said he could never recreate that joy. He's not an actor, and in no way could he get that moment back. So,
if I'm not mistaken, I saw him in some interview. Because he's there this year, right?
He is there.
He's always around. I think he's more a winter guy.
But didn't he? I thought he was with ABC.
He was.
Forever? Or has he just moved around?
He moves around. And the funny thing was, is because ABC's hockey coverage was so light, the only reason that he got to call that game, because they knew it would be broadcast, was because he had called hockey before once. Mm. He was the only person on the ABC team that had any experience with calling a hockey game, and he had done it once before as like a college like task. So it was just interesting for the stupid Olympic trivia. Like, sure.
I appreciate that.
Stupid Olympic trivia right here on Q Talk America at 7:07 and 53 seconds according to the atomic clock. Well, I guess we should. I'm pretty sure what the whole thing is going to be. We're going to go around the table. What's everybody been doing? Starting with Buddy.
Wow. I'm
very busy.
Now we're at the 31st.
Very busy, important businesswoman.
Okay, got it. Murphy Brown.
You know, everything is sort of converging right now. I got moved, although I have to go clean my refrigerator after the show tonight because I thought tomorrow was the 31st and I had like all this extra time. But it's not.
Not now.
Okay.
Tonight I have to go like scrub my old tub and clean the refrigerator because it's got like ketchup crusted stains and stuff like that.
Maybe refer you to the atomic clock for your calendar question.
Ketchup stains in your tub?
No, in the refrigerator.
Oh, okay. I wanted
to
make sure.
Me, Marnie, I'm not
judging.
I enjoy a French fry.
I wasn't certain, you know, where maybe.
So the whole moving thing has happened, and I'm still living. You've got a lot of boxes that still have to be unpacked. But that's, you know, happening. And this weekend is my exile is up.
Self-imposed exile from being in the bars.
6 months. And it wasn't just in the bars. Like, I set out 6 months ago, and I'm like, you know what? I just need to have some sort of exile from the GLBTQIALMNOP community.
NFL, AFL-CIO.
The Dancing with the Bars was a little cheap, so you might have to throw another day in there.
The Dancing with the Bars was my sort of peak to coming back out. But yeah, 6 months is up now and this weekend, so that's kind of exciting.
Nice.
Plus,
do you have big plans?
Yes, we'll get to that later.
Okay, fabulous.
Plus, and I'm going to have to check with you on this,
okay,
Clayton, because
what am I fixing?
No, you're not. I'm just something else is going on with me, and it's because you have cats. I'm going to ask you. I think I'm in heat.
Both Maggie and Marty are fixed, so I don't.
You wouldn't have that.
We don't go through that at my house.
I've been kind of asexual for a while, while.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, I've been like just seeing. I
saw
him.
It's the Olympics. Today, I saw him at the opening ceremonies, and I'm telling you.
Today at work, I'm looking at people like in a way that I've never looked at them before.
I'm rubbing
my
ass on furniture
everywhere.
I
need to get me some of that, you know?
Yeah.
My boss.
It's purely
today
Olympics.
Only. I was like, I never noticed him before, and I'm just feeling like maybe something to rub up against.
All right, well, luckily there's a good 3 or 4 feet between Buddy and I.
Isn't there like an apple vinegar spray for
and
that or something?
I don't know, but I would.
And
find
I
it
am not. I'm not gonna.
You should have brought it.
I'm not gonna. You know, just keep waiting around for Sergeant Ed Castillo.
No, you shouldn't.
No,
it's
time to move on.
You know what? That's just kind of rude.
So
I'm sorry, Ed. It's rude.
It's been this long.
For you.
It's been this long. He should have called.
Rude.
In the immortal words of the Supremes, you keep me hanging on. So.
Well said.
And so also in the words, you can't hurry love.
You can't. But can we push
you just
it?
Have to wait.
Can we push it in if we can't hurry it?
Oh, wow. My, wow. I think I'm going to drink on that. Like, just because
I don't care how you get here. Just fucking get here.
Railway.
If you can.
If you can.
On Marne, of course, we alluded to the fact that you're... By the way, you were done with your... Hey, you
wrapped up your thing, but... still plenty of things going on, but, you know...
Please tell us.
We got to...
Enjoying the Olympics. Enjoying it since opening ceremonies. Not so much the opening ceremonies.
Are the opening ceremonies over yet? Is what I'm wondering.
Well, you still have them DVR. Well, I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah.
I haven't got the ringing out of my ears yet, but they are over.
I do like a constant percussive beat. But I love Danny Boyle. I love his movies. So it was kind of what I was expecting. They just needed like a heroin addict to chase them through that last scene.
Or a kid
to like climb up out of a thing of poop to like show his ticket. You know what I mean? Like his movies are
sure what that means.
Slumdog Millionaire. I mean,
never like, saw it.
Yeah, of course you haven't.
Yeah. I don't know why I looked at you with a
movie. I've seen it.
I know. Thank you.
That's
see?
Wild. Normally, I've not seen it.
That's a Danny Boyle film. Yeah.
Three out of four people on this show have seen it.
And one of the greatest zombie movies of all time, 28 Days Later.
Yes.
I've not seen that.
I mean, seriously, this is one of my favorite directors. I'm a big fucking fan. Come over.
Okay.
We're just going to make you a movie night at my house.
Danny Boyle, is he also Trainspotting?
Yes, that's the heroin addict reference.
Oh, you said heroin. I didn't.
Yeah, that's
that.
What I was.
Oh, you said heroin.
No, he was always running through the city.
Gotcha.
I'm like, la, 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 la.
That's what you do for an hour and 45 minutes of the show. So.
Really?
Pretty much.
You pretty much got the lyrics of that song down. It's la, 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 la.
And we have to pay royalties on la, la, la. Thank God.
Oh, mercy.
Unless it's really attached to a medley that really is well known. Okay, so, Marn, you're back in payroll hell, I hear.
It starts tomorrow.
Always.
Always.
You only pay people once a year?
No.
No.
No. Seems like all the time.
Oh, just first of the month?
Nope. Every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks.
So why is it hell?
But it never ends.
I make a reference. I'm like, well, payroll starts around fucking payroll. Like, everyone I know just kind of goes off about it.
Why is it hell?
People are just fucking stupid.
I mean,
really?
Isn't it kind of like cut and dried? Like, this is what you work, this is what you get paid?
And as it should be. Yeah. Yes. May I just
point
out that no, it's not like that. You have to like contact these people and be like, do you want to get paid? You fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm assuming they say yes.
And then when they don't, if they turn in their timesheet late, then they're all fucking mad about it. And they're like, I didn't get paid. Well, no, of course you didn't.
Because I forget to clock. A lot of times, like, I'll forget to clock in and out for lunch, or I'll clock off for lunch. So I get that. Because there's a book where I work of like 30 pages of like, oh, I forgot this. I forgot my badge. I forgot this shit. Some poor schmo's got to do that every fucking
week. When I worked for the state of Arizona, the reason that I bitch about it so much, I think, is because I've done it. And when I was with the state, I was always away from the office because I hated the office, and so everyone would call me every 2 weeks. Like, I'd have three or four people calling me every 2 weeks. Marnie, where's your timesheet? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, in my desk. Well, it's due today. Okay. And then they would help me, and so I appreciate that. So I'm a little bit nicer about getting timesheets.
So you used to be the fucked up, now you're the fucked up.
I'm taking care of the fucked up. Yeah. So it's all good.
Wow.
But yeah, that's almost a slam
against the
nope, the providers of.
Oh,
just
okay.
Let it go.
See how I didn't even say the word out loud.
Right.
That was well played. Thank you.
But in before you had to come back and suffer with that, you had a lovely trip to San Diego.
Had a lovely trip. There are a couple of things. First of all, I need to do two birthday shout outs.
Okay.
Before I even go into that. And one is for Scott Tickler.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to Scott.
Victoria London.
And the other is for the Reverend Ron Flood, who has occasionally been, especially at the beginning, in the chat room.
Yes.
So, Rev Ron, just wanted to say hello and happy birthday.
How was dinner at, because we realized that you were sitting on the bay at San Diego and probably went to a Red Lobster.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh.
This is my favorite. I have this written down.
I know. I'm going to feed you this. Okay. Now, last week, I rarely pay attention to anything any of you say. I just wait to find out when I can interrupt.
Funny. You're going to love this.
But I was actually listening to Marnie on the phone, and then I listened to the show back. And Marnie actually went to dinner at Nick's, but that got lost, and it had a lot to do with the delay.
Sure.
So where didn't you go to eat last week?
Not Red Lobster.
But we
Red Lobster in San Diego.
Like,
yeah.
And especially in the third hour, like, she went, I can't believe she went to Red Lobster.
Well, the reason that that was a joke is because it's a fucking chain restaurant.
I know.
Well, yeah, we were on board with
but
that.
But you thought I actually went?
Well, sure, I didn't know what you
Jesus
were doing.
Jesus Christ, that's not really true. We don't all go to chain restaurants.
It was hysterical because I got that you, she was standing outside of Nick's about to go in, and then all of a sudden she played into your joke about the Red Lobster and the chain restaurants.
And I said that our waitress is Brenda, and I'm hoping the hostess is Robin.
I remember that.
And blah, blah, blah. So that whole thing. Well, Friday.
Maybe I thought you were going to dinner with some guy named Nick. I didn't.
Maybe.
Just didn't catch.
God
that.
Maybe damn, that's what that's I heard. Hysterical too. Because I was like, as if we're going to go to San Diego.
So yeah, Doug was so, like, I can't believe you went to Red Lobster.
I know. So on Friday when I get there, he's like, so you went to Red Lobster, huh?
Nope.
I did not. And I'm staring at him like, you really believe that? He did. He was horrified.
Oh yeah.
He was horrified. So that was fantastic. No, we went to Nick's. We watched the sunset at Nick's, and it was just beautiful, and it was a great little 3-day vacation. What else happened? Usually I just kind of do this fast, but I've been told I don't talk enough.
Not by me.
Well, no, not by you. Not by you.
Al thinks we all talk too much.
Yeah, exactly. Can you scale it back?
Today was fantastic. I talked to a friend of mine that I met 20 years ago and haven't spoken to in years.
So you're close,
years
friends.
And years. No, we actually really are. We just lost contact.
That first meeting must have sucked if you haven't talked to him.
Anyway,
oh, you've made quite an impression.
Carl! My friend Kelly, he's just fantastic. So that was fun. Okay. We spoke for a couple hours today. So that was nice. Other than that, just the opening ceremonies at Al's last Friday was beautiful.
It was a lovely party.
It was a lovely party, and thank you for letting me overstay my welcome.
Oh, you certainly did not.
It was
the
wonderful.
Kicker was bringing your mom in to help your welcome and be more welcome.
I was like, she's here? Oh, okay, you know.
And so. She's like, my mom's just going to pick me up at the door. I'm like, your mom is just not going to show up at my door and be sent away. So she came in, and of course, she's just a wonderful, I'd love to chit-chat with her, and we had so much fun.
Sweet.
So we chatted for like another 2.5 hours. I invited her in for one glass of lemonade, and she's probably thinking I'm being held hostage by
no, by the way, she
by this gay guy with a TV and my drunk daughter.
She hasn't stopped talking about that lemonade, by the way. I was like, no, it was just simply
lemonade. Like, mm-hmm. I think it really was called Simply Lemonade. But
exactly, yeah.
Just hysterical. She was the Patty Hearst of the evening.
Yes, she sure was. So that was
to go with the berets that we were all enjoying.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Ralph Lauren berets were lovely, I'm
sure.
It was.
It was fantastic. It was the first time, because I think I mentioned it like around the 4th of July, so a few weeks ago, that I kind of get all weepy with that kind of stuff, like the Olympics and the 4th of July and very patriotic kind of stuff.
And we're at day 3, and I'm a box of Kleenex into this fucking game.
Well, that was my new, like, moment. Because I always watch the shit by myself. Like, I'm not leaving my house. I'm not going to go anywhere because I'm going to tear up and I'm sitting in a group of people.
Oh, you were with the safe group there.
I was with the perfect, we're not even like moments into it. Like, all you heard was dun 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 dun. You know, and the Olympic theme goes up and all of a sudden he pulls out a box of Kleenex, puts it on the table, and I'm like, I'm home.
Yeah.
Everything is fine.
I can't make it through coffee commercial. Yeah. That Maxwell Hill commercial with
totally.
The sleigh ride in Christmas
love that.
Time.
I love it.
I'm the best by the time it's over.
The best part of waking up. I won't say anymore.
That coffee commercial from like 25 years ago where the guy comes home and the woman comes down the stairs. Peter!
Yes.
That one's
and he drops his bag.
Oh, yeah.
I think all of them are dead now. It's so old.
Well,
that movie.
Or they don't remember having been in it.
They should make. I almost said movie, but it's a commercial. They should make a movie out of that.
They should make a whole movie out of that walking down the stairs.
Danny Boyle will direct it, and it'll be loud.
And there'll be sod. There'll be a lot of sod.
There'll be a heroin addict in Nevada shit somewhere on the third stair.
Oh, before we go any further, we have a technical issue to clear up, which we can drink on.
We haven't been on the air at all.
No, we have. The QTalk AZ site has issues, but if you go to QTalk America, and then you can enter the live chat. It is live. It's up. Doug Wilkie's in there.
Yay, Doug.
Tyler from Tennessee.
I know.
Missy Al is in there, too.
Doug.
So it's up and running, but you do need to go to the QTalk America site to listen live. I'm in hopes that my mom has figured that out.
Al is in the chat room.
Are you...
Couple of weeks ago, I started going in just to read it and let Tyler know that, you know.
I need to do that.
No spoilers.
I told
you,
no spoilers.
Like, Michael Phelps won the gold. You know, I'd be like, fuck you.
I will come down on you like the fucking hammer of God if you spoil the Olympics for me.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Hammer and sickle.
No spoilers.
It might be a good one for you not to be on there tonight, then. Because you never know. Some
by the way, how long does this... go on.
2 weeks.
Were you, stop being so offended by the Olympics. Mulkey.
Exactly. And if you don't like it, turn the channel.
No.
Damn it.
You're not politically correct here.
No, I'm just concerned with how long we have to be in this informational bubble.
By the way, typically it's only going to be on a Tuesday. I mean, like, we'll know everything up until then.
Everything else. And then next week for the gymnastics all around, I think it's the all around, or it's the individual events, the 5th through the 7th.
Individual events, I think.
I'm off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so I have those days off.
Yeah.
Okay. And London time just blows me.
It's
8 o'clock in the morning, when I wake up, there's all these alerts, like, if you hit the button now, you can watch the gymnastics live. Yeah. Well, sure, if I got up at 8 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
Right.
No,
right.
I am already, I just was realizing this today. 2016, Rio, like, that lines up with the U.S. pretty much.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, but we want to go, so we need to figure that out.
We need sponsors.
Yeah, look at Clayton's all about the Olympics now. See, that's bullshit.
Yeah, right there. Rio.
When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
But we kind of were talking about that.
Like, yeah, no, and
the baby's name is Lewis Smith.
We got 4 years to kind of look at that. And
I mean,
What?
His name is Lewis Smith.
Oh, he knows.
I've been saying.
Okay. Beep, beep, beep. I was like, where did Clayton pull that from?
Well, and that Tom Daly for you boys.
No.
No, really?
Tom Daly, he's a little.
I'm not Tyne Daly. Totally.
Oh,
and that's not for me either. Yeah.
I am about Ryan Lochte, Nathan Adrian.
By the way, Ryan Lochte needs to step it up. Because I'm a little upset with him.
Yeah, because now he's coming off as a douche.
Cocky.
Yeah, now he's coming off as
cocky,
this is
arrogant,
my
ass with that grill.
Oh, I thought
thing.
You like I had stuff in my teeth.
No. that American grill. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it just
yeah,
it's
he's an arrogant
can
ass.
I share something with
this
you?
This whole this is my time. No, it's kind of everybody's time. Yeah. He got to tone it down a notch.
You're here for the U.S.
I like that he lost the fourth leg for them.
Oh, but then he lost the 200.
Yeah.
We'll get into all this later. But
sorry.
I need to share something with you, and you're going to find, I don't know where this came from, but for 8 years now, I have had a major boner for Kosuke Kitajima. Never before have I been into Asian.
And you chose to just share that now?
He's swimming. He's a four-time gold medalist in the breaststroke.
Oh, right. Oh.
And he's an asshole. And then maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's a cocky asshole.
So is that the guy that trains up in Flagstaff?
No.
Oh, I thought he was the one that they
No, that was the Norwegian like who died.
No.
Okay.
I don't know about that. But
yeah, he was a breaststroker. That's. Are you sure that from
no,
Norway?
No, it's a...
I think that's the first time the word stroker has been used on
yes,
this show.
Yeah.
And not meant for something
I just,
from,
I just feel like that Ryan guy's being a little force-fed to me. Like I like to find my own heroes. Like, who knew that Lewis Smith was going to be... He's gorgeous, and then he has that Cockney accent. Like, he's kind of from a trashy part of London. Like, when he was talking yesterday, when NBC and the networks of NBC and Universal decided to let us see 5 fucking minutes of the the gymnastics, he kind of had a trashy British accent.
Yeah.
But when he left the stadium crying when he placed in the vault and when he found out that his team qualified, like, that's the kind of moment I like. I like people to be a little bit, a sense of occasion, just standing in front of a thing going, this is my time. Sure. I get it. Like, I get you need a bravado.
How about Franklin? Just being
now, there is a sense of occasion. That was the first time I cried watching somebody get a gold.
Yeah. That was amazing.
She's singing.
And her parents?
She's singing the national anthem. Her parents are crying. She's crying.
That's what it's all about.
She swam a semifinal, a 200-meter semifinal. 9 minutes later, came back, upset the favorite in the 100-meter backstroke to win the gold medal.
And broke the U.S. record.
Such poise. Like,
never
seen
anything
she was
like
so
it.
Poised, and she got out, and she was so, like, it was, and maybe it's just because they've been, like, is this Ryan's third Olympics, or is it only his second?
I don't know.
He might have been in 2004 as, like, a relay or something.
Yeah.
Really his second.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And Michael Phelps has been very, like, kept away from everybody. Like, keeps his headphones on so he's not a douche, and they said maybe he's a little, but he still says, like,
he's kind of a douche.
Stoned.
Yeah, but he still
he's
keeps
stoned.
He
still
keeps
stoned.
It to, like, the swimming talks for itself. Like, that's his answer a lot of times is, I love
how are you?
Yeah, but how do you answer those kind of stupid fucking questions?
Right. Yeah.
So which Michael Phelps are we going to see
tomorrow? You saw that. You saw that.
Which Michael Phelps? You know, the dumbass from the first race that lost, or...
The one
are we going to get the really, really amazing
I
one that
say,
just swam? You're a fucking idiot for asking that question.
Over the years, I've always thought Andrea Kramer, I think that's who
does
the swimming.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
I've always thought she was pretty good, but so far these Olympics, it's always, what are you feeling right now? What were you feeling when you did this?
Breathless.
When you came off the blocks, what was that feeling that you had? And I was like, really? Come on.
But
step it up.
And you got to tell me his name again, the one with the voice, the one that came in second yesterday.
Oh,
Nick
you put
Thoman.
Something about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nick Thoman.
Yeah, I don't
oh,
have
my God.
Any idea
when
who
she
that is.
Handed the microphone to him and she's like, how does it feel to know that the women are in the back cheering for you? And he was just so genuinely like, that's just nice. I mean, he was just so like, appreciate. Like, he came in second. He doesn't think he's a rock star. Okay. He's as gorgeous as any human I've ever seen. And then he smiled, and he had that deep, dulcet tone voice. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, my God. Just... So ask me how my week was.
Oh, are we not there yet?
No, fuck no, we haven't got there yet.
No, because I actually spoke.
Well, I'm just going to piggyback on. I had to clean my house because people came over, so I cleaned part of the house. And then while they were sitting there, I cleaned the rest around them.
Right.
And Harrison came in from San Diego for the opening ceremony.
Lovely to see her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Harrison Ford. Lovely to see her. And it was nice. Had people over, and it was a nice time to visit. And Doug came over the second night with the rain, and we watched. And then Rob came over on Sunday morning just for coffee and breakfast. So there was we were back to having like people in the house again. And nice. it was a lovely week, and the ceremonies were nice. And like, I had visitors in the middle of the night. Diane showed up at 1 o'clock in the morning, stayed till 4.
Well, like you said, that she, on the right over here, you're saying she's just as much of a night owl as you are.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what was she doing out like that late?
She worked until ten, but okay. Then I had said at about 10:30, I said, do you want me to call a cab, or may I ask for a ride when everything is done? And she said, of course you may ask for a ride. That's fine. So she was going to come over. And then apparently she was calling and texting. I had no idea. I had my phone in my pocket. And so
what about your other phone?
Well, she was on the one that I would answer.
Oh, that's now I feel terrible that she wanted to come over earlier and enjoy the drunk people when they were all there.
Not just a private audience with me. Just me and Al. But
so it could have been less of a Sibby and these Liberation Army kind of moment. All right,
I
gotcha.
That was lovely.
So that was my week. All that was missing was the two of you. You were not there, but you were moving, and you're like me. I usually work all weekends.
I work. I've just added more time to or more
you have
things
added
in my
more days.
I have. I took over all shows at
so
all
really
shows.
You're doing Friday, Saturday, 7 days Sunday, a week though.
And then this week. So all I have is Monday, and then there's Wednesday and Thursday, but usually Wednesday's recovering from Tuesday, so I'm still down to 2 days a week.
Yeah, and you're still doing your other job, the real one.
The studio's job.
Which he did for the first 10 minutes of this show.
Right. Yeah. They're fine. I've text backup support, so they're good and going.
All right, so while you talk, I'm going to take off my headphones and ignore you. See you later.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say, Clayton? How was your week, honey?
Well, dandy. It was busy. Of course, they always are, but I made it up Sunday, spent some time with Mom. We had brunch. And the funny thing was that I texted her, like, brunch on Sunday, ? And her response is, well, yeah, where are you going to take me?
And That's a good woman.
Well,
I like that.
Well, yeah, but she never likes to leave the house.
No, she does not.
She'll leave the house on a Saturday, but rarely on Sunday. And she did dancing.
It was lovely to see her with
Dancing
with the
Bars last Sunday. It was fine. Sure, Al, if you're going to make drinks, go ahead and do that. It unscrews.
The love of Jesus. What
the? Do you make those at the restaurant?
Not with that kind of a cup.
No. Does it come with the Shirley attitude?
Does it come with ice chips, or are they, you know?
Everything he serves, yes. So no, it's just been good and fun. And now here I learned another. And I know Jason loves it when we talk about him on the phone. He or on the phone on the radio. He said he forewarned me that when he lived with his roommate Patrick, when he day drinks, and then he comes home from day drinking,
he masturbates on the couch.
No, he goes. No, he goes crazy and he cleans. He cleans. So
that's awesome.
He was day drinking on Sunday.
I miss day drinking.
Cleaned my entire house to the point of got cleaned stains out of carpets. Like, he was on his hands and knees scrubbing. And this thrilled as Jesus. I know it is. I'll fix it.
Day drinking leads to night drinking, and that can be dangerous.
There's no other way to say it.
There's no other way.
Well, the first meeting for the thought of this show was day drinking, I think. I think we're going to do a show. All right, let's do that.
Actually, Al was the only one drinking. Oh, you mean at the beginning of?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's a good call.
Way back. Yes. Months back.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus there, my friend.
No, you were drunk. You were drinking at that meeting, too.
Sure.
You were awake. Yeah,
sure. Oh, no, I meant the meetings far further back when we were discussing it.
Oh, we were all drunk at those.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
How many times have I seen you sober?
Why are you looking at me? I think that's rude.
I think that was a general question to all of us, really.
I was looking directly at me.
I'm laying under the bus looking up for help.
I'm helping you. Okay. Look, I've got your hand.
Got it.
Anyone who actually believes that I drink too much, go ahead and write into the don't, please. No, leave that alone.
All of a sudden, the chat room blew up.
Blew up. And everyone who was listening actually showed themselves. Fuck off.
All right. Well, I think we have handouts, but I don't want to wait till the sports segment for handouts. Okay. So I'm going to start with these.
Wait, may I just?
Would you go ahead?
I received a text message that really kind of makes me laugh hard.
Okay.
It's from Brenda and Robin.
Oh, beautifully realized.
Beautifully, yes. And it says, we're going to ask for royalties every time you mention our names.
You're God not the only us. Lesbians in the world named Brenda and Robin.
Clearly.
Like, everyone's referenced every Tuesday.
But I do have to say they've become our house lesbians.
But you know they really have.
But I think that's going to come out of, because you two mention all the time, it's going to come out of your pay.
Oh.
That comes out of Buddy's pay. He's the one that came up with it. I call bullshit.
I didn't come up with it. Reality came up with it. The universe came up with it.
And anyone named Lori with an I, you need to pay him. He needs to pay you, too.
All I know is I'm not chipping in on this one.
All right, so we're going to start.
I'll buy you beer, Brenda.
Before we go into headlines, I'm going to do the handouts.
He's already horny. Now you're going to hand him pictures?
No, so hand them to her.
Oh, you have in this color.
This isn't even a recent photo.
We've now got a color printer.
You've
moved
up in the world. So, that's not a good picture.
So for those of you,
I like it.
For those of you listening, I know these handouts do so much for the people that are at home or in their car.
Oh, this one's blurry. I'm not sure who that is.
Fuck, really? Who cares? It's like.
Seriously?
Hey, we're not pedophiles, Clayton.
No, that's
that Tom Daly.
That's Daly.
I know, he's 18.
He's 18.
We checked this out. Why am I saying any of this?
I don't know, but
anyway.
You're defending yourself.
There's a better picture of our boy, Lois. No. I keep calling him Lois. Or Lewis.
I don't know.
Lewis Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, Google, listeners, however you self-identify, please Google image Lewis Smith.
Oh.
And if you can get him to talk, just do it. Because that voice is... So sexy.
Yeah.
Because he's from the cast of Trainspotting. I almost had to put, what's that thing called? Closed captioning on. I'm like, what the fuck? This bitch is putting me on. Oh,
for the love. All right. So not that the rest of this whole show isn't going to be all about Olympics anyway, but I figured we might do.
I thought you said you had handouts for me as well.
Oh, I do. Do you want them now?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, why
did you suffer through us masturbating?
No.
Thank you.
I didn't know. I didn't know fully what to make.
Oh Jesus! If you give me some weightlifting bullshit, I'm gonna knock your ass.
No,
out.
So I print. Well, this is one. So I'll let you. There's one. I'll let you get the.
Yeah. There we go.
Google image U-Haul trucks, and you'll understand how we got the lesbian on board.
Then I got this one.
Yeah. Or Subarus. Oh, I think an Olive Garden picture is going to be next, I guess.
No.
Or the Cherry Lynn road sign.
But this one,
this is stupid.
This is the redeeming one, though. So I figured if we've got these pictures of these wonderful people that we don't know, we'll give her a picture of somebody that she does know. So I printed that one.
Carl!
Oh, we just made Marnie horny.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's so sweet.
Lord have mercy. All right, let's.
It's a picture of me and Aaron.
It is from our photo shoot with Nemec Photography, which we can endorse later.
So, are you just in heaven that you have a picture of a Subaru, a U-Haul, and your girlfriend? Like, this is the trifecta of lesbian goodness, right?
According to all of you.
Yeah. All we need now is a breadstick from Olive Garden. And
or the cheese biscuits.
What's that standing by outside right now live is a truck from...
No.
All right, so as we're talking about douche moments, now I don't remember him from the... I don't remember Lewis. Jesus Christ. I don't remember Lewis from... The last Olympics, but I guess he took bronze in the pommel horse.
Okay,
and I guess he was kind of a dick about it. He was not. He was a sore loser. Thought he deserved better.
Okay,
and they were talking about his attitude and how in this Olympics they brought him back because they know they need the pommel horse to get anything. Like because everyone sucks at that.
Yeah, that's a...
Stratus? What's the word for it?
I don't know.
Sounds like a nightclub.
Apparatus.
Yeah, the horse is the one that kills everybody.
It kills everybody. But on the other night when they qualified for the team and they actually made it into the eight, which they weren't expecting. They thought they might put one or two people through into individual things. When they made it as a team, he was like weeping as he left because I guess there's been a dose of humility over 4 years thinking that... The British suck at Olympics so bad.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't even placed in 100 years.
Well, I thought ever.
They were saying, no, there was once in, like, 1912.
Was there? Okay.
Because they said no one alive has ever seen them. No one alive has ever seen them medal. So he really, it's that sense of occasion that I like at the Olympics. I want someone kind of crying and the agony, the ecstasy of whatever it is, the agony of defeat.
The ecstasy.
The thrill of the agony and ecstasy.
Enjoy that.
In addition to Olympics, we have a couple of topics to talk about, and we're going to get to those right now. It's headlines on Q-Talk America on a Tuesday night. A teen who had sex with a cow is forced to marry it.
Stop it.
Barbara Walters thinks Queen Elizabeth has a sour face.
She does.
Crop circles appear in Washington State wheat field. CNN's musical choice for a segment is raising some eyebrows.
Oh.
A thunder shirt helps pets with thunderstorm anxiety. Oh. And NBC apologizes for not being able to alter the laws of time and space.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. And actually, sadly, again, these are all real stories. Well, no, I take it back.
No, the last one's one. Not.
That I was like, not. Wait a
but
minute.
But it's funny. But I figured that this would be a hot topic for you guys because of what we've all just been talking about. In Bali, an 18-year-old boy in Bali was caught having sex with a cow and was forced to marry it in front of hundreds of people. According to Bali...
Wait, this story is real?
This is real.
This is real.
According to their whatever their traditions are, that if you have sex outside of marriage, it's not clean, blah, 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 you have to cleanse everything. So the teen said that he thought the cow was a beautiful woman and it wooed at him and gave him lots of compliments.
It wooed.
I don't know what he was drinking.
It's so tricky, that translation
maybe
from Balinese.
Maybe
or
it was upside down.
Right. But officials didn't buy it. The officials...
Utterly ridiculous.
Utterly.
The
city officials didn't buy his story. They decided on the arranged marriage as punishment. During the ceremony, the teen passed out. And to complete the cleansing, the village decided to drown the cow.
Oh. What?
But we
can
are ruining
Can they still
marriage.
Use the beef?
Right.
Well, there
well,
really
no,
needs
no.
to be...
Can steak still be had?
Probably yeah, not, because it wouldn't have been cleansed.
There really needs to be a constitutional amendment cow.
I bet Chick-fil-A is for it.
I'm sure.
But all I'm thinking is Rick Santorum, that's his dream came true. Like, he's always saying, if we marry another man, somebody, it's going to lead to bestiality. Right, well, it did in Bali.
Mm-hmm. Right, it did.
Bali.
And this is one that I figure Al's going to chime in on because I know you watch The View every day. Barbara Walters thought Queen Elizabeth's skit with Daniel Craig to open the Olympics Friday was funny, but she thinks Her Highness could desperately use some tips on how to smile. The View has said on the show that the Queen's got a, quote, sour face, dresses like she's in the 19th century, and could use a pinch on the tushy from Prince Philip. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive. Yeah. He had recently been ill, but he was back. And the funny thing was,
We talked about that. Yeah. He looked okay.
He looked pretty good. He was getting around in his own power in a stadium.
Well,
he looked alive.
What else?
Did you see all day long, all of Saturday, there were pictures of the Queen with captions to go with that sourpuss. So it wasn't just Barbara that thought
no,
so.
No, right.
Like
right.
The one was...
Look at all the countries that I used to own.
Yeah.
There were so many. But she does need a stylist.
She does.
Something must be done.
Let some
well,
gay
she
man
had
work
sensible
for
shoes. Every lesbian in the world that ever has worn
black shoes and a black
pump,
dress.
As it were. Doesn't matter. Pump, as it were, thought... Sensible shoes. I think I said it out loud.
Yeah, I mean,
those are lovely.
I like
Amish.
That
they're
like,
perfect for jumping out
say.
Of a plane. So maybe that was
absolutely
what she was thinking.
Yes.
I like that. Walters further questioned the Queen's style. Says she is 86, but she dresses like something out of the 19th century. The pink dress, the pink plume, but then with the black gloves and the black bag. What does the Queen keep in that bag anyway?
Oh, that's an old Joan Rivers joke. And Joan Rivers came
really?
Out, and Joan Rivers had anal lube. Because she's like, if I answer the question, you're all going to be mad at me. So they all hesitated because they know with Joan Rivers you're going to get something
right.
really
Absolutely.
Fucking
That's
funny.
That's what yeah. she claimed was in
so
the bag.
So she said anal lube.
But, you know, I never thought about it. It's funny that she carries that bag everywhere, but she's got people who do shit
yeah.
for her.
Absolutely.
What is she
Why
carrying?
There's
it?
Nothing in that bag no. that she
is
needs.
Is the royal handkerchief in that? I don't know what...
And I never thought about it until in, like, 82... Whatever Joan Rivers, What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most, that,
mm-hmm.
that comedy album came out.
Mm-hmm.
And she always says, I met the Queen. She looks good. The only thing I'd ever done was lick the back of her head because I'd only ever seen her on a
stamp. Right. That's what's on Colbert. I saw that.
That's a joke from the 80s. If she tried to whip that out last night on Colbert, I haven't watched that yet.
She did. It was funny.
That's a joke from the 80s.
That's
all ever
exactly
seen.
What she said.
That's very funny.
I've only
She's
seen her on a stamp,
funny.
So I licked the back of her head. That was funny.
God bless. Joan Rivers remembers her jokes as well as I do.
Oh, I...
Well, thank God she remembers them. Phyllis Diller has to read hers off cue cards.
Oh,
at this point.
Joan is ready. To feel younger, she throws a tampon in her purse. That's the funniest thing she has said in a while.
She said on Colbert, he said, well, you look fantastic. She goes, yeah, we all know why. She goes, I saved it all. I put it in, it made a mini-me. It's in the back room waiting to come on tomorrow's show.
I was the only 11-year-old boy in my school with the book Heidi Abramowitz is a Tramp or whatever. I actually went out and bought that book.
I used to force people to listen to What Becomes a Semi-Legend Most, and I just burned it onto Tim took it from album, put it on CD for me, and I just put it onto my iTunes, and it's on my phone. So if I ever need a laugh, I can listen to the entire album
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. If you don't think that the royal family's ugly, go to your door and yell out, Princey, Queen, Duke. See what shows up. A bunch of dogs.
Oh, Maybe we could get Joan to call in. She's on every other goddamn show.
Oh, and she's all.
She's a media whore.
She is.
But God bless her.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And the Queen. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of the royal family, but the Queen doesn't need Barbara fucking Walters telling her that she needs to get a stylist.
Right. There's
no. She's the Queen. True. She's. You know what? She's close
there's,
to death.
There. And you know what?
Just shut up, Barbara.
But I think they're both 80s. I think they're both 86. Like I think they're the same age.
They went to school together.
I think Barbara's kind
Barbara's
of.
Barbara's like, look at me. I know how to dress.
But I think Barbara's thinking, you're making me look bad. Like if I say my age, they're gonna look at you and think I should look like that.
Barbara said, look at me. I know how to dress. That's what she said.
I'm Baba Wawa.
Baba Wawa.
And I would kind of agree with you, but in defense of her, with her, the whole opening of the Olympics and all the stuff, she has a sense of humor. She's funny.
Clearly.
I was amazed that she let them do that.
She didn't want stunt doubles. Those were her corgis.
Yeah. But didn't you?
They were.
Now, what I said, as
they
were
adorable.
As we were watching, I was like, now, do you think she spent this entire time being queen? She's been 60 years. Has she been thinking, I want to do a goddamn James Bond movie?
Yeah.
Quit referring to me and put me in the movie. Because she's probably a movie lover. Sure. You know, unlike you, three out of four
are.
Well,
what else she got to do?
I love that they're now calling her a Bond girl.
Right.
Yeah. You know, his newest Bond girl. It's cute.
Yeah. I was wondering if she ever was thinking, like, I'd slip in and do a number here.
Sure.
Like,
I love that she kind of, you haven't seen it yet, you said.
Which
Clayton.
One? The opening?
The opening.
Just clips of it.
Clips of it. But I mean, she actually kind of, everyone was like, she has this puss on and she's not, you know.
But not during that.
But not during that. It was, she had this kind of smirk, like, you know, it was just cute.
And it was funny.
It was genuine and I thought very cute.
In a couple of interviews, Danny Boyle was talking about, that was his favorite moment, was the,
we have a court
issue. Was when, Daniel Craig gives a look.
I just need a little
light. Al's standing on it.
Turns out I'm standing on it.
Jesus.
I was going to make a joke that I was standing on it. It turns out it was. But Daniel Boyle made a look of like Daniel Craig as she walks back and he says, Your Majesty. And he's thinking, like, he's got that look of, like, you know, I play James Bond. I'm always referring to the Queen. This is the real Queen, but I'm a fictional character.
Right.
Playing against her. And he said that there's just something in his look that conveys how much fun they're both having with that moment and how impressed he was with getting just that right
tone. And how cool for him.
Right, exactly. For both, I think for both
absolutely.
Of them.
Absolutely. To be like, are you fucking
now
kidding
I'm
me?
Now I'm James Bond for real. Now
are
I'm
you
later
fucking
I'm...
kidding me? The Queen is walking right past me. Look, let's go.
And
James,
call me Mr.
You know,
Bond.
Right. Well, let's go, Mr. Bond.
Doesn't that make him the only actor to ever do something with her?
I believe so. And about time. Good before she died. And she's probably getting to that point of, like, she's got her bucket list, too.
I'm going to be a Bond girl if it's the last fucking thing I do.
I lost every inch of this kingdom, but God damn it, I'm going to be a Bond girl.
And there are dead people on my property, from what I hear, but well played.
We'll find them somewhere.
It was fun.
Speaking of mysteries on properties, crop circles have appeared in eastern Washington state wheat fields, but area farmers are preparing for the summer harvest and find the distraction more amusing than alarming. There are, and I didn't print out the picture, I should have, there literally are a bunch of crop circles that have appeared in this wheat field just off Highway 174, about 5 miles north of the town of Wilbur, Washington, wherever the hell that is.
Well, my cat. It's my cat, Washington.
The flying cat.
I love it.
But no, the reason I printed this was I was going to ask you because, again, we all have these different thoughts and things about extraterrestrial beings. They said that aerial
E.T.
shots. Every
phone home.
That threw me off.
I did too. I was they're here.
Aerial shots of the wheat field show no sign of entry from any other point. There's just these circles. Now, I remember I said earlier that all the headlines made me think that Al was going to talk. Okay, so
X-Files freak over here.
Right, but then the dreamy draw
that I'm the biggest.
Right.
I love to tell the tale of the dreamy.
So my question in regards to the crop circles are, do any of you have any other thoughts in regards to crop circles? Are they real? Are they bullshit?
Can you read the story again? I wasn't listening to you.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. Love of Jesus.
Let me see if I can get you interested in it. In Subaru County, Washington, a man driving a U-Haul truck spotted crop circles in a wheat field.
And this body was confirmed by Robin and Brenda.
Royalties.
There are crop circles appearing in wheat fields in eastern Washington.
Now, isn't
state.
It usually,
call that? Yeah.
Isn't it usually corn fields, or is that just a an M. Night Shyamalan?
No, I think it's just any crops. I think it's been in all kinds of them.
Yeah. There's too many of them for it to be a coincidence, and they're too intricate. It's too intricate. Like there's something going on.
They're perfect. Like they're literally perfect circles. So I don't really have a huge thought on it. I just knew that you would based on the dreamy draw.
Right. And do you know what the dreamy draw is?
And for those those of you listening outside of Phoenix, the Dreamy Draw is a stretch of highway in the city.
Was.
And there is a
still is.
It's still called the Dreamy Draw.
Oh, I thought it was
right. Yeah. That's part of the legend.
Yes. Oh. So Al, please take it away as you will normally.
There is a Dreamy Draw Dam built in the mountains at like 32nd Street and
Shea,
a little south of there.
Right.
And it's the Dreamy Draw Dam, and there is a dam built where no water ever flows. We're not stopping up any river. And the thing that the X-Files people, the conspiracy theorists and all the Area 51 people say is that it's a concrete dam to cover up a UFO
that
was
landed
found there.
In the 50s or when was it?
Yeah, in the 50s. So not only, and this has always been around, and it's a very common story, especially if you watch the X-Files.
I haven't either.
So there's a dam there, and it just sits there for no reason. Well, there used to be the Dreamy Draw, and you know, you go through the houses in the Dreamy Draw, some of the most beautiful in the Phoenix area. And there used to be the little Dreamy Draw before the 51 was built, before there was the highway. The Dreamy Draw went through there, and that's how you got from like 24th Street in Lincoln around the mountain and up into Paradise Valley. Well, the best part is when they put the 51 in, were they not able to fuck with? And you have to take that really bizarre turn to your right and you do this winding thing.
Yeah.
They had to include the Dreamy Draw because they were never going to interrupt it. No water flows there.
Interesting.
There is nothing to dam there. You're not anywhere near the Salt River. There's no real danger of flooding, and the dam doesn't dam anything that's going to happen. Right. So if you get a chance, Google the Dreamy Draw Dam, and it's one of the most famous ones, like Area 51. Like there's a few things that the X-Files touched on in that show Superstition.
Wow.
Superstitious? What's the show with the two hot guys on the CW?
I have no idea.
Oh!
No idea.
Is it called Superstition?
Is that what it's called?
I know. Is it a reality show? I'll text my girlfriend.
But it was a Stevie Wonder song.
No, it is. It is.
Oh, okay.
But it was a show where they took on
Superstition.
No.
More money.
Bad. Brendan Robin.
But it was a show where they took on like Bloody Mary, and they took on like the Lady in White, and all these urban, all these horror stories. You know, and the piggy in the mirror, and the Bloody Mary, and all those different ghosts and things.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about, Clayton?
I do.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't.
I do because I've heard the story.
Bloody Mary. You can't say the Bloody Mary. Anyways, Google all these things.
I drink Bloody Mary.
Write them down. Write that down, Mary.
Write that down.
Okay. But just Google, and it's all famous superstitions and stuff like that. That and the show they turned out were true. But they covered it a lot on the X-Files, and it always made me laugh. That the Dreamy Draw.
I enjoyed the
X-Files.
Yeah. Oh, I love that fucking show. Because I'm a James Bond geek and
Little Mulder and Scully.
I'm an X-Files.
Yeah, okay.
I bought this next headline for Marnie. Comes with a handout. I know you guys aren't into pets, but Marnie is.
What do you mean I'm not into pets?
Well, totally you don't have pets.
But I am totally into pets.
Okay.
I love pets.
No, here,
I'm hungry. Is there any more food?
Stop it. Stop it.
This is actually a Dateline Phoenix. We've spent some pretty spectacular lightning shows lately, but your pets probably haven't been enjoying the loud thunder that comes with it. There's a product that claims, and I want to know if you think this could really work, a product that claims the cure for the fear and anxiety of your dog, or I guess they make them for cats too, I don't know, from the thunder and the lightning is something called a thunder shirt. It simply goes over your dog's back with flaps and secures under its belly. The thunder shirt, it's hard to say.
Yep.
If worn properly, nice and snug, the shirt is supposed to make your pet feel more secure, similar to if you're swaddling a baby.
Absolutely.
Do you
Yes.
No. Really?
Yes.
You think it works?
I don't think this will work.
Yes, I know it works.
How?
She wears one.
Shut up, buddy.
And I'm wearing it right now.
I'm not just a pet. Yeah. I'm a member.
I did not expect that one, buddy.
I am. Nicely done.
Oh, okay.
Well played.
So why do you think that works?
I have friends that have them for their dogs, and they actually work. I mean, dogs that have been afeared.
You got to drug them. Fuck this.
Yeah,
you get puppy Valium and you drug the fuckers.
And
you wake them up 3 days later.
That's exactly what I thought it was. But it's kind of, okay, so I'm going to go to what I know as a profession and folks with autism. They have weighted vests. They have what's called a weighted vest, and it's like deep pressure that feels kind of like a hug. And there was, speaking of movies,
I call
if
it a black
you've seen
V-neck.
It, that as well. but Temple Grandin?
Yes.
Okay, have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Have you, buddy? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah,
okay.
I do know.
So that whole idea of kind of that deep pressure that goes on someone, it calms them. And it's scientifically kind of proven that people, if they don't have this weighted vest, again, typically with autism, but not always, will go and they'll find couch cushions. They'll find laundry, you know, like just so that it's something heavy, something putting pressure on them. And it calms them. Now, and this is the same concept as this thunder vest.
I totally believe it.
I believe it. But with dogs, like, because my sister's dog is is fucking batshit, and whether it's thunderstorms or things, and you can hold the dog and actually physically apply
and
the pressure yourself.
Out.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it any better.
No, and
so that's
and
why I don't think a virtual hug is going to be any.
Here's the difference.
A virtual hug.
The comparison would be that a weighted vest, for instance, if it's someone with autism or if it's not, but it's not going to work for everybody.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I know a dog that's too batshit crazy for a little accessory.
Well, and Michelle
to fix.
Bachman is that.
I don't think you can paint with a broad brush. I'm sure there's going to be exceptions because just like there are certain people with autism that that's not going to work for.
Absolutely.
But I just had never heard of this, and I thought that
I have had a couple of dogs that Bailey was one of them that the minute raindrops would start to fall, crack of thunder, it didn't matter. Boom, she was in the bathroom. She was in, or she'd want to go in the pantry. It kind of like in the Midwest for us, like the whole tornadoes.
Storm cellars or
right?
something.
Storm cellars where I'm going to go to the safest place. I'm going to go to the smallest spot.
Yeah, but it's when they start the barking and the involuntary shitting and the pissing all over the place. And they just, they're
that I've never, that I've
that's
never
what I'm right. like, and that's, the cats on the nightstand and get out.
Right.
And they start all that.
But that's Sergeant Ed Castillo, get out of my house.
Hey, I didn't say that.
Because I'm not talking about like a little bit jittery dog. I'm talking when the dogs like lose their fucking minds.
Yeah,
like,
but you're right. Then it's Valium, then it's something.
For the 4th of July, we have to pre-drug my sister's dog, like, the morning of. And the dog weighs, like, 13 pounds, and it takes, like, two dog Valiums. Like, what you took in a Rottweiler?
You have to give them sedatives.
Coincidentally, Al's also pre-drugged at 4th of July, too. I don't know
heard.
Oh, those were the days, weren't they? When that was your... Can we order in?
I know.
Are you that hungry?
I'm fucking starving.
Well, Doug's coming in for hour three. Maybe
yeah,
get
Doug,
him to
bring food.
I've
got him on
all right, you guys
Facebook,
figure that out.
Just a Filiberto's carne asada burrito.
Nothing you fancy. Can get a coupon, apparently, on Facebook today, but Al wouldn't know that.
Nothing goddamn healthy.
CNN's musical choice for a segment is raising some eyebrows, and we all know we're all tired of hearing about it, but... Sarah Palin recently tweeted a picture of her and her husband Scott in a Chick-fil-A supporting them, and that kind of went viral. And then there was a news story on CNN. They opened a segment of that about that story and that song using the song Pink's Stupid Girls.
Oh!
Sorry. I did not see that.
According That's to fantastic. the Randy Kay, the anchor, said Sarah Palin's apparently hungry for chicken and controversy. The song was later deemed unintentional and coincidental.
I bet.
Was it the Roots and Jimmy Fallon that played Lion Fucking Bitch?
Right, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the guy. Yeah, when she came out. So according the quote from CNN says the music selection was a poor choice and was not intended to be linked to any news story. We regret any perception that they were planned together. I think there's a fag in the control room who's like, "This will be funny.
This is great. Right.
This will be funny."
I love it. I love it.
She's just standing there in that
she's
cunty
so
picture.
Stupid.
She's standing there with her
bags.
But yeah. I want to intro to the one thing with the Chick-fil-A. I had a long discussion with a friend that an old friend, like 20 years not talking kind of thing. Not that.
Oh, calling Marnie
Hi,
and
Kelly.
Her college friend.
Hi, Kelly. We didn't go to college together.
Or whatever.
But making shit up.
They went to trade school together.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was a friend who put something like,
"Thank you, buddy.
Who's proud to support Chick-fil-A?" And it was kind of like, and it has two thumbs. This guy. So I just kind of like put something kind of sarcastic on his page. And then on my page on Facebook, I just found out that someone puts, like, my rights below the right. And so we had a long conversation over the course of 2 days. We actually communicated face-to-face, not face-to-face, but on the phone and via emails, and got to the thing about, like, the First Amendment rights of people to... You can build wherever you want to. The mayor of Boston can't say you can't have a Chick-fil-A here. Right. We just have the right to not go there.
Absolutely.
But so it just reached a point where I get the anger of like telling, because if they did that to us and some town said a gay person couldn't open a restaurant because they don't like our values,
right.
We'd be just as up in arms and expecting people to rally for our cause.
Sure, no, you're right. I agree
so
with that.
With that part, with the First Amendment right, but the rest of it, but for her to stand there...
Right.
She's just a cunt.
Yeah.
No, that's the problem I have, because I've had the same conversation.
Especially, we had a conversation last week that her grandson already knows the word faggot.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she's on the side of, like,
Marnie,
there's
your tie-in right there. You asked me before the show. She asked me before the show, what was the deal with the word faggot last week? I'm like, I don't remember. So, that's there.
Yeah,
right there.
And it wasn't coming upset about fag or faggot.
It wasn't that he said faggots, that the little three-year-old knows that the evil version of that word and called his aunt that. Like, that's the level of hatred going on in that family.
Right.
Yeah, they're
Go
neat.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
They're neat.
I don't remember.
I know if I talk long enough, you all forget.
I know.
And then he'll have more
Sarah
time to
Palin,
talk.
Chick-fil-A, bigotry.
Yeah, you know what?
There you go.
We
brought him back.
No, because the whole Chick-fil-A thing, I'll just get riled up and I can't even.
But I did make the very interesting point.
Harrison Darling is in the chat room.
Hi, Harrison.
Oh, good time. Jason,
I think it's Carlton, I assume. I don't know. Jason, Doug, Tyler, everybody. They're all
Jason, which Jason are you?
They're having
please
a sub-conversation in there.
Oh, yeah, and the show was called Supernatural that we were talking about with the two hot boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the Mayberry Darlings? Is that who?
Yeah. Actually.
No coffee there, Muck. Thank you.
But the last, I just want to.
How are you, Miss Wiley?
The last thing I want to say on that thing was this conversation that I had with my Christian straight friend who really didn't understand the other side of the argument. Like, I came around on the First Amendment part, but he didn't understand that when some millionaire that owns fucking chicken shit places. He's giving like a percentage of his fund to Prop 8.
Millions.
We have to give our
millions,
money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have, like, we collectively don't have, like, there probably are millionaires donating it to it now. Like,
sure.
I heard Yahoo and Target have contributed against. But we have to collectively give our hard-earned money to fight a law that does nothing. So then all of a sudden we have to have this ugly conversation in California. There's all this ugliness that millions buys.
Right.
And I really got that point across to him. Like, they can build whenever they want to, but every time you support someone who gives millions to an anti-gay fund that really does nothing, it's not a law that saves anyone's life or does anything good, everybody has to waste more money going against the hatred. Mm-hmm. And that really came, like, rang home for him. Like, I don't want to give. I'd rather give $5 to your kid's education than $5 just to shut some fucker up that wants to spread hate.
Or to those people that are living on the canal that we ride by every week
live
under Oleanders.
There is a use for your money, and it's not stopping gay marriage. If you have $2 million to throw it around for something beneficial to the human race, not just your Christian hate. I mean, but I got that across to him, so I thought that was an important point that
we've made progress.
It's the point of a two-sided conversation where it wasn't just anonymous people saying shitty things. Like, when we said, you know, this is me, this is you, we know each other, we've always been friendly, now we have something to discuss, let's see if we can find common ground.
There's the cutest picture I think I've just in going through Facebook and different things, but I just thought it was an adorable picture of Bert and Ernie
sitting on the beach with the bucket
with
of KFC.
The bucket of KFC.
That was cute.
Yeah, I enjoyed that tremendously.
That.
Yeah.
And
I
now thought. There's all those KFC signs where, like, one KFC says we support Chick-fil-A and the other one says have a serving of chicken without hate.
Right.
Like, there's all these things. I don't know.
I haven't seen the tomorrow one that says we support them.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, and they're going for both places, August 1st, there's a support Chick-fil-A day that they've run around, and then there is from PepsiCo or whatever the name of the Pepsi that owns KFC now, it's a support KFC day tomorrow. So they're both going to get...
Sure.
Yeah.
Their coffers full with everybody eating, you know, original 11
spices. Well, and you
know
what? Do what you want. Like, but I have to say that I kind of look at you differently if you do.
One of the things that I've done a couple times
and
on Facebook.
I'm not judging you.
They're younger, and I appreciate that they're younger because if God bless us, we've all paved so many ways, and so many people who've come before us who have paved the way for us to not have to pay so much attention to things. A lot of the younger generation don't really realize what's out there, and they're just running blind. They've been out and gay and proud forever, and nobody's ever held them back. They've never had a problem. So they're out going and doing and doing, and so they post, hey, I'm at Chick-fil-A. So I literally commented, you need to research, and this kid came back at me, and I private messaged him, like, no, you need to step back and really realize what you're doing. I'm like, their waffle fries may taste amazing, and I have never eaten there, and I have no idea, but I'm like, you need to pay attention. Sure. And finally, he came back later, and he's like, wow, I had no idea.
Right. And Jim Sahaki, who we were talking about earlier, the man that christened me Missy Al many years ago, he had something on his Facebook today about he had to delete someone for their stance, and he put a very funny statement on there that I love, and he said, you're not as important to me as I am.
I love that.
Like, I can't back up your Bible verse because as a reason for hate my rights are, but I love it, just the simple and I keep adding to it and getting rid of the simplicity of it, but you're not as important
to
me as I am,
because I'm gonna have to start deleting some people who it's on Facebook. They've shown themselves to not just be someone that I'm totally opposed to philosophically and politically and all that, but in the last couple of weeks, one person I'm thinking of in particular has not come out and defended Chick-fil-A and the BSA, Boy Scouts of America, because of their right to do what they want. He's come out to support them in what their decisions are.
Right.
And I'm like, and you think you're my friend, even if it's just on Facebook? You think that about me. You think that Chick-fil-A and the Boy Scouts of America, as he said, are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I support them, and you want to come on my page and send funny comments to me and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and what? Fuck you.
Fuck you, yeah. And you know, I always get – I'm so bad with people's names.
Who?
I call him Eddie Asada, but you know his real name.
Eddie Olivos?
Yes, Eddie Olivos. Because I don't know anybody's real name, so I make up names for them.
What's my name?
Marnie.
Mamie Eisenhower and some other guy. I'm so bad. I give everybody nicknames.
You haven't called me Mamie for a long time.
I'm so bad with names. But his boyfriend, Paul, who I call The Paul, I know his last initial is T, but I call him The Paul.
Okay.
He actually sent back his Boy Scout, his Eagle Scout medals, his things of certificates, and they took pictures of it, and he mailed it all back and said he would like his name stricken from anything Boy Scouts related, that he didn't earn any of those Boy Scout honors to be a part of people that are discriminatory. And it was a strongly worded letter, and I guess it's a thing to have people send back their honors.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Well, let's end our hour on a happy note. NBC, who's been chastised for their broadcast, rebroadcast, delay.
Duh.
Of, I think, responding to widespread criticism of the network's decision to air coverage of the Olympic events on a six-hour time delay, executives at NBC Tuesday issued an apology to the American viewers, saying that, quote, we're really, really sorry for failing to alter the governing laws of space and time to accommodate your precious schedules. We at NBC would like to sincerely apologize for not doing something so simple as to alter the physical properties of the known universe so that you could go home and watch the 100-meter backstroke live. And I think that goes right into the delays, the spoilers, everything that goes along there.
Two things about this.
Oh, please.
I saw that story on The Onion earlier, and it's true. As much as I might bitch, it's true. NBC cannot control it. And this is not the first Olympics where things have been shown on tape delay.
Sure.
But, you know, more so than 4 years ago, more so than 8 years ago, and definitely more so than 12 years ago, we have that information at our fingertips so handily through the internet and whatnot. NBC can't do anything about it. Here's the other thing about all of us, including myself, who are bitching about the tape delay. NBC doesn't care because they don't care about people like me and Al who, you know, like want to live and breathe the Olympics 24/7. They care about those prime timers, which is the majority of Americans who are going to tune in that night with their families. That's the people they're going after. And for people like us who you know, don't sleep for 2 weeks because we're fucking Olympics crazy, they don't really care about us. And that's whatever. So that's that. Was that 2 points or was that one?
Yeah, I think you got two in there.
I got you. And the other thing is now we're not Vancouver was kind of in our time zone, so they didn't have to do a lot of things. Greek TV, I don't know the state of Greek TV. They can fuck with that however they want to. But London's a large nation that has a large viewing population. Right. They're doing them at tea time. All the big events are scheduled at 4 o'clock, which is tea time for the Britons. So it is their time to sit down and watch TV.
Here was my other point really quick that I wanted to make.
Go.
I understand the whole tape delay for the most part, but Saturday when the Phelps-Lochte race was not shown live at 11:30 a.m. our time. That's what I didn't understand. I'm like, it's Saturday. This is not Tuesday.
Yeah.
People are home right now. You can show it live, but and that was what really kicked it off because everyone I know, including myself, I moved. I got up and moved early that morning, so I was in my new place by 11:15
to watch.
And
to
thank
watch.
God the cable was on, and I was like, it's ready. And I waited and waited, and I'm like, where is this?
I understand. It's hour one. We're wrapping it up. It's 8:03. This is Clayton McKee. We're on Q Talk America. We're going to do hour two moments from now. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Once again, good evening. Thank you. It's 8:04, Tuesday night in the Valley of the Sun. We're broadcasting live from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for being here. It's Q-Talk America on a Tuesday night. It's called The Show with Clayton McKee. It's not only me. It's Buddy Early, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. And I think it's time for sports.
And you know it's time for sports because Marnie is in the ladies' room. These are your sports headlines, Olympics edition. Gymnastics favorite Jordan Weber gets an unexpected day off. The duel in the pool produces little firepower over the first 3 days. And twifling tweets causing terrific trouble at the Olympics. And those are your sports headlines. Oh, man.
I was going to bring up the Twitter thing, but I'm glad you did. That's funny.
Let's get... Okay, first of all... Again, we're on kind of an information lockdown, so we don't know what's been happening today on the Olympics, so don't fuck it up for us. But here are some really important headlines otherwise. That collective gasp you heard Sunday evening was the sound of millions of homosexuals reacting to the news that U.S. gymnast Jordan Weber would not get the opportunity to compete for the all-around gold medal in her sport, despite finishing preliminary night with the fourth overall best score. Due to some bizarre Olympic rules, each country may send no more than two athletes to the all-around finals, which includes 24 gymnasts. Since Weber finished below fellow countrywomen Gabby Douglas and Allie Raisman, she will be watching from the sidelines. Weber won gold at last summer's World Championships and headed into the Olympic Games as the co-favorite with Douglas. So here's my prediction. By 2016, they will have something called the Jordan Weber rule, and that I'm predicting they will call it that from here on out, that this rule has changed, that whatever they say, okay, if you're in the top 8, you're 12, whatever, this won't happen. This
the
kind of thing will not happen.
The super country goes down to a lower.
You know, because the U.S. women's team, on preliminary night, they finished second, third, and fourth out of hundreds of little girls bouncing around in that arena. And the fourth place person does not get to try for the gold, and that's a real shame.
Right. What a great night of TV. I mean, talk about tears and excitement. And because the Alley girl, whose name you'll – because I don't know anybody's name.
Who had a career night. She's really not as good as Jordan Weber at all.
But they had her little interview, and I think NBC and the networks of Universal decided to play it halfway through the night as they realized how it was shaping up. And she's like, I would just like to be considered for the all-around. Yeah. Like, I just don't want to be written off right away as the other two are going, and I'm just the also-ran. And then she beats both of them and, like, kills it. Because the thought was among the Olympic team was if she placed second and Jordan placed third, she might elegantly step down.
Elegantly in the public eye, because I know people who follow gymnastics who are like, well, they should make her step aside. And apparently they can do that.
But the best part was she placed first. So that left Gabby other. So then all of a sudden, no one was stepping down.
It's a shame because, these three girls could go 1, 2, 3, and that's something that they just don't allow.
Which I think is what they were. I think the rule was trying to prevent, like, the dominance of, like,
and
all the little countries.
I think what it stems from is, I want to say back in the mid-1970s, they changed the rule in swimming. That's why in swimming, only two qualify in each event from the U.S. Olympic trials and every other country. It used to be three, and the U.S. was just sweeping medals in all these things.
It sounds like a rule that kind of was put up to kind of stop the U.S. from dominating, and the Ukraines and all those countries.
But mark my words, by 2016, this will be known as the Jordan Weber rule. There'll be some sort of caveat that says, no, if you place in the top 5, 8, 10, whatever,
you get in regardless, right? But the other thing, I mean, what fantastic TV to have. Jordan Weber did the math. She knew she was out. She started crying, and Allie didn't know yet because it wasn't posted. I guess Jordan is like a scoreboard follower, so she had done the math in her head. So she knew she was out before the other one knew she was in, and her coach was whispering to her, you're in the all around, and she's like, how do you know that? What are you looking at? And she just kept looking like, show me on the screen where I play. Oh my god!
It really was great television.
It was great. One's crying, one's excited. Then they're both.
They were interviewing Allie Raisman after she found out.
And in the back,
Jordan Weber is crying, knowing that she has to be interviewed. She tried to leave. She tried to go out.
Right,
and they're like, no.
They twice.
She's sitting there crying in her hands, knowing I've got to wait till Allie's done talking to this bitch.
She was a rat in a maze for two different. Twice she tried to escape the interviews, and they made her. But the poise, the poise of this young girl to have to stand there in the agony of defeat, knowing you really did win, like you earned your place, but some stupid rule prevented. Oh.
Well, here's some more Olympic news. For the last 6 months, we've been teased by the prospect of the best two swimmers in the world facing off against each other and owning the London Games. Thus far, however, the Ryan Lochte-Michael Phelps domination of the pool has not exactly materialized. Although Lochte struck on opening night with a win in the 400-meter individual medley, he followed that with a disappointing anchor in the 4x100 free relay, costing the U.S. gold, and then a fourth-place finish in the 200-meter freestyle, an event in which he is the reigning world champion. Phelps got off to an equally bad start, failing to medal in the 400 IM, which he has won at the last two Olympics. Going into tonight, Phelps is seeking his first individual medal of these games. So we were looking for Phelps and Lochte to collectively bring home like a dozen golds, you know. Not happening.
And it's funny, like, how old is Phelps? Is he in his
27.
He's 27, and now he's the elder statesman of the games.
Sure.
It's just so funny that they're all talking about, like, he had to learn poise, and now he knows. And his,
well, he's a goofy, big, tall guy.
But the trainers have said that he didn't train for this Olympics like he did the,
no.
like, the last
one.
Oh,
no, right.
So they're saying, like, he knew he couldn't come in all cocky as, like, I'm going to win everything. He just kind of came in to sort of write up the games. And I said that he'll show up next time in Brazil.
Oh, he won't.
Just to walk.
Oh, of course.
He'll qualify for one event just so he'll finally have the experience of walking the opening ceremonies. Because he's never done it, because his first event is always the next day.
Well, his mom wants him to come back and swim because she wants to go to Rio. And I'm like, I'm sure you can go to Rio if you want,
right.
Debbie Phelps.
But I honestly think he'll come back to qualify. He'll qualify for like one event just so he can walk with the – I think he probably – I have a feeling he might miss
My
miss
mom
that.
Was – when I was talking to her on Sunday, she said that – in an interview, he was like, no, I'm gonna be done.
Well, he's been saying that for
but
a long time.
The mom is back, oh no, he'll compete. And, like, is she like a stage mom? Is she like pushing?
Kind of.
And she's, I mean,
she's
there's
super
no
supportive
way to,
of him.
There's no way to deny
that. They're supportive, and there's like, let your child be.
Sure. Well, Misty, what's her name? Misty?
Misty Hyman?
It is actually.
No, Misty
You
Hyman.
Are right. Her name is Misty
Former
Hyman.
Gold medalist.
We've been laughing about that.
No, the 16-year-old.
Oh, Missy Franklin.
Oh, Missy.
Okay, Missy
is her
Franklin.
Brother Busta?
I don't know anyone's
Hatta?
Name. But Missy Franklin's parents were way up in the nosebleeds when she won gold.
Right.
And
right.
then you see Debbie Phelps, and she's got like front row seating. She's like the queen of the Olympics. They seat her practically in the pool.
Yeah, that's true.
She practically got a a snorkel gear on to watch
them
swim by
she's
her.
She's got buoys. She's just hanging out.
So it just lets you know that she's used to this star treatment at the Olympics. And if she goes to Rio, she's going to be back up with the, you know, in the seats that were formerly occupied by Misty Hyman.
Do you think we can... Can we take the show to Rio? You think we can?
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Joe DeGanzik, what do you think?
Let's start collecting. I will do drag shows every week for Campbell Soup.
And
I will too. I'll wear dresses.
Oh, I don't give a shit what fundraiser. I'll bake.
But we have to do a broadcast every day.
Okay.
Oh no! You want me to talk every day?
That's weird. I bet he can't.
I'm so shy.
Go ahead, buddy.
Wow.
And demure.
All right. Two countries have already disciplined athletes for their usage of Twitter during these Olympics.
Oh.
Switzerland stripped a soccer player of his Olympic accreditation.
Can we just strip soccer players?
I was just going to say.
Just stop the sentence there and let's all have a quiet moment. We'll turn the dim the light.
No, this guy's a douche.
Switzerland
this guy's a
stripped
douche.
A soccer player of his Olympic accreditation after... That's a hard word to say.
Accreditation?
It is.
Accreditation.
Accreditation.
After your epic fail at lame basted.
Yeah. After he sent a threatening and racist message about
Jesus.
The South Koreans. The comments by Michael Morganella came hours after the Swiss lost 2-1 to South Korea on Sunday. Prior to the Olympics starting, Greek triple jumper Vula Papachristou.
God bless you.
That's right.
Fun.
I said it.
Vula Papachristou.
We owe no money for that.
She was kicked off that country's Olympic team for her comments on Twitter mocking African immigrants and expressing support for a far right political party.
Oh, yeah, that kind of.
In other twat news.
Okay, go.
In other twat news, Twitter suspended the account of a Los Angeles-based reporter for a British newspaper.
Go ahead.
A reporter for a British newspaper who included the email address of the NBC Olympics president and asked his followers to write to him and complain about the network's coverage.
Yeah, they did. They took him down. He logged in the next day, and there was something that said your account has been suspended. He emailed in asking why. They responded, "Why is you give out somebody else's private and personal information? That being the email address." But today it was reinstated.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They reinstated.
I haven't been following the news today.
But what I don't know is
we can't follow the news.
No, I just saw that it had been reinstated, but I didn't go in and read the story as to was there a caveat of like, you know, that, you know, we're slapping your hand now, but you can't be doing or giving. I don't know what the deal was. But I thought it was interesting. Yesterday they suspended him, and then today they reinstated it.
It's nothing different than, you know, the rest of us who put things on Facebook or Twitter. I don't Twitter, but maybe some of the rest of you do.
I do.
And you just need to think before you do this, people. Come on. Think before you post.
We don't do it on here. Like, as I said.
Oh, no. But we have a disclaimer that we don't have to do that.
So fuck you.
And we have the ability to edit after the fact.
Yeah, but there are things that when I listen back that I'm like, oh, that comes off really bad.
Well, you always come out bigoted or something's derogatory.
Oh, no, last week you took that award.
Oh.
Yeah, last week you were the winner on that one.
Oh, cool. I'm sure. I haven't listened back to the show.
Who am I looking
at? Why? I didn't notice.
Oh, no, because I call it unintentionally racist. Like, things just get said that just come out as like, oh, that comes out wrong.
Oh.
You know, if you don't know my delightful, sparkling sense of humor.
Absolutely. But Clayton wins that one?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes the word pickaninny can come across in a wrong context. And, you know, in the different... That was my homage to former Governor Ev Meekum.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
Carl is still with us.
As we're... the best part, though, about this whole Olympics thing is Doug was over the other night for a late night of Olympics and with Harrison, and we taped because TCM...
Not Ford.
No.
No.
TCM is doing their counter programming to the Olympics. So they did an evening of like the 60s Joan Crawford.
Yeah, I saw some of that, yes.
So we watched a little bit of Baby Jane, but then they did like the real Joan Crawford, this fabulous documentary. How gay did that sound?
It really was gay.
Really, really good documentary about like Joan Crawford's life and everything. And it takes her from like, even Betty Davis was not as famous or as long a working actress. Like Joan Crawford is from silent films.
Yeah.
Like, right. The middle of the silent films era, all the way through into talkies and designing her makeup. But they included that. I guess it's back to the perfect kind of a me.
What I never knew, and I can't believe I never knew this until the other night, and I can't believe I had to hear it from Drew Barrymore and Robert Osborne.
Oh.
Joan Crawford contacted all of the four women who were up against Betty Davis for Best Actress that year.
To accept.
Said, if you can't be there, I will accept on your behalf. And Anne Bancroft couldn't be there. She's probably in London. I don't know.
She.
And Joan Crawford accepts on her behalf and walks right past Betty Davis.
Oscar to an accept.
Yes.
Now, that's one of the divine... There's a book called The Divine Feud, and it's about Betty Davis and Joan Crawford's feud.
Love it.
And it's a fantastic read. It might all be bullshit, but it's still a
great
read.
Who cares?
What a great read.
Al has told me that story before. I remember hearing that before. Funny stuff.
Looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me.
Still dead, by the way.
Still dead.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that, but Joan Crawford...
Passed
dead.
Away.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. 80s? Was it
I think
80s?
Whitney did as well.
Late 70s. I want to say 77.
Something. Well, we can Google that. Somebody looked that up. Nobody cares.
Was she dead before the book came out? Her daughter's book?
Very close afterwards. The book was written in response to the will.
Okay.
So I want to say she died in 77.
Oh, it was. You're right. That makes sense.
That would make complete sense. Yeah. All right. It's 8:17. You know what we haven't done, and I need to do it right now because, well, somehow the show gets on the air by way of sponsors. We'd like to give a shout-out to In Touch Magazine, covering all of Arizona, a true LGBT community news magazine and the only one that is part of the Associated Press. Each issue consists of colorful pages of information, education, and what's going on in your very own community. You can catch them at InTouch. That's InTouchAZ.com. Also, Marnie, her chariot this evening was courtesy of Rainbow Cab.
Yes, it was. Thank
you. Do you know which chariot did you arrive in?
Scooby-Doo van.
The mystery machine.
Oh.
For transportation needs that are both economical and on time, contact Rainbow Cab at 602-502-1367.
Was Don Knotts driving?
Nope.
Did he ever drive the mystery van?
Nope, still dead.
I don't know, but he was always in disguise doing something.
He was.
Almost said...
You meddling kids.
No, what I almost said was even in the animated series, it was all animated. Wow.
But the live version of the Scooby-Doo movie is hysterical. Only the first one.
But check them out. Rainbow Cab and also Nemec Photography. Want to give a shout out to those crazy kids at Nemec. It's NEMECphotos.com. You can catch them also at 602-909-7805.
Yeah, I love them.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Okay, our drinking word is dismount, which is what we hope Buddy does from the cushion that he's been mounting for the last hour. Yeah.
Now, and you, Al.
Now, Marnie, I have to tell you, I have my headphones on, so when you talk and we're not on, I don't know what you're saying. So what were we, enough with what?
Oh! I had forgotten already. There was just a little subject I wanted to talk about.
Okay, because all I heard was enough. So I'm going to dismount off that. Please drink.
Whoa!
Every time you hear the word dismount.
Well played.
Unless you're driving a car and then you're a dumbass.
You know, another thing we should promote, because we haven't done it very tactfully, is we started last week, and we're going to continue on. We now do what's called Hour 3, and we broadcast the show from 7 to 9.
Ish.
Ish. Yeah. Last week, we were just completely off the rails in regards to time. So we're going to tighten that up. So we do the first 2 hours where you guys hear it out there, and then there's a third hour we're calling Hour 3 at this point, where we stay in the studio, continue the conversation, and then that's only available for download a few days after this show is posted. So we will be doing that again tonight. So if there's a topic that we're discussing that you'd like to hear us talk about more while more inebriated, please look for Hour
3. Oh, we're supposed to keep drinking?
Oh, sure.
Oh, really? See, what we do is we dismount from Hour 2.
Oh!
And then we climb back up on the new apparatus.
Nick Hyman.
Oh, wait. Oh! Hey, no.
Misty
Hyman. What?
Misty who?
Oh.
All right, then.
I think we need a squeegee. I'm not sure. Okay, so our drinking words dismount, and I do have another handout, but it's just because it's funny, and I thought it was funny. I don't know if you guys have seen this on.
Well, that's part of what our show is about, is trying
funny?
To be funny. Yeah.
We have been.
I thought
to be
we were
funny.
Supposed to be
just
political.
Read that. I just think it's the cutest
little
thing.
Oh, I like
thing.
This.
Yeah, that is
we can't do this any justice. But
I like that.
No.
Oh no!
So we'll dismount from
I've
this.
Never had
but the
I've
giant,
never had a cop pull me over. So
the
I'm
giant
sure.
beer oh. really makes the photo.
Yeah, that really does.
Is the baby drinking the beer?
No, I'm not sure, but it's. I just think.
I right. think the baby's British.
So he is drinking the beer.
Yeah, he is. So I'm going to go, yes, I'm beer.
Actually, I'm going to go with probably Irish.
Oh.
I'm going with Irish
really?
There.
God, you're such a racist.
I don't mean to be rude.
When they started the no smoking bans all over the world, and first, you know, New York dismounted from...
Wow. Just, I didn't think you could really work this in as
I love a challenge. So New York did their dismount, and they got off. And, you know, when New York City did it, I thought, well, that's pretty big. And then the whole state went... And then in Arizona was still clinging to it. And of course, I was dying of bronchitis in a gay bar,
right.
breathing in smoke.
Smart man.
And then all of a sudden, Ireland says they're dismounting. And I'm like, okay,
well
if
played.
The fucking Irish can get off the horse.
A.K.A. dismount.
Yeah. I almost got a spit take.
I almost shot Crown and Diet through my nose.
That's fantastic.
Wow. That was,
doesn't happen often. Well played.
Get off the horse. That was almost as funny as whatever shoots out of that cannon.
You know what,
and he's got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah, the finger on the pulse of all the dead people.
That's right.
We should play as a drinking game, Dead or Alive, one week. And
oh! Let's do that next week.
Oh, yeah. Next
week
we'll play.
Tune in. For those of you listening, if you're not going to die between now and next Tuesday, please tune in next week where our drinking game will involve Dead or Alive.
But if you do die, don't tell us, because that way we'll get to drink and get your name
and
wrong.
If I die, please use my name often as the drinking word. I like it.
It'll be such a great dismount from your coffin.
As an example, Sherman Hemsley.
Sure, exactly. Dead or Alive. Well, I do that all the time. The headline yesterday was that he was alive, because who the fuck knew? You know what I mean? Whenever someone dies, like when the lady from Titanic finally bit it.
The old gal?
Yeah,
Kate Winslet, right.
No!
You talking about Jack?
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Rose Tyler, whatever
I'll
her name
I'll never let go, Jack.
Jack Rose.
Oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
Bye, Jack.
Seriously, get out of the fucking water.
So when she died, because I figured, God, she's in fucking King Kong. She's 170 years old. So my thing always isn't like the head. I didn't wake up this morning and say, oh, look, she's dead. It was like yesterday's headline to surprise me should have been, she's still alive. And then I've been like,
she was in King
Kong.
She's not dead yet?
She's
what
like,
the hell?
If she's not an extra in King Kong, she has like a small speaking role.
I believe she
King
was
Kong.
In Citizen Kane.
I want to say yes on that one, too.
I thought she was in that movie about dismounting.
No.
Oh, is that it?
I think so.
You know who is in Citizen
Kane? Some equestrian
Kitty
fucking
Carlisle.
Thing. Well,
like, oh no, not Kitty Carlisle. I always get her wrong. It's the matriarch of all in the fa-
you're,
all my children.
Your what is her name?
Not Barbara Bel Geddes.
No,
it's the only one I knew.
No, but well, oh,
Phoebe Cates. Phoebe Cates. I can't.
No, it's not Phoebe Cates. That's
shit.
A donkey.
That's
going to
kill me now because I know.
All right, we're looking it up.
We can look up shit in this fucking studio.
I know, but it's better to come up with it on
our own. Organically.
Ruth Warwick.
Oh!
Oh my God, I'm
did
such
she
a fact.
Phoebe? Was her name Phoebe?
Phoebe Cates, you said
I will dismount my apparatus right now to kick you in the air.
Okay. Marnie had something.
I know.
I hesitate to even bring this up, but Marnie had something serious she wanted to
Cheers.
Say.
Cheers. I know, Doug Wilkie. Okay, so it just let it go.
Lost. Okay. I've watched week 78, and I've lost all control.
They're actually.
Well, at least you made it to like an hour and 25 minutes in before you lost all control.
Wasn't I still trying to talk? Thanks.
Yeah.
So so hola.
I wrote that song too.
Thanks. I like it. All right, so first of all, I needed to should we do the depressing thing first?
Sure, it's not let's
depressing. Yeah,
let's
oh my God, let's, it's not only
yeah,
serious,
let's,
it's
yeah, let's discount off the happy
I
show.
I like it.
Would you like some then, sad music to
no,
go
but,
along
but
with it?
But this whole thing, like, why is it coming back up? Because I need you boys to explain it to me.
What?
Why is the whole thing about gay boys and blood donation coming back up as a big deal? Buddy, I saw something on your Facebook.
Oh, I think it comes up all the time.
No, but it does, but it's coming up more. I'm seeing a lot more of it. Why is that?
It's... There is not going to go anywhere, but there are people who are making rumblings. For example, you know, the Red Cross and the United Blood Services, they don't like the policy. They would love to be able to take everyone's blood who has good blood to give.
Right.
It's the FDA.
Yes.
And so there is a push from certain people, including these organizations and some, you know, politicians who want to get the policy changed, but the FDA doesn't look like it's going to budge.
So they were looking at this in what,
because
like September of 11? Yes.
And then again, it's come up in the last month or two. The reason I brought it up was because we had a blood drive at my work a week ago, and I was like, I'm sorry, you know. But also what I think is interesting, and it came up yesterday in a news story, and they didn't mention about gay men not being able to donate, but it just said blood donations in the United States are at a 15-year low.
Right.
And to me, I think, well – it's,
here's a solution. It seems, you can dismount off your discriminatory policy.
To me, I don't think it's too much.
Look at you with no joy. Just drink the fucking drink and enjoy that I got.
I don't think it's too much of a leap to say, well, think about what's been maybe a little different in the last 15 years. More people are open about their sexual orientation and not going to lie about it. So your donations are down because people are not going in and lying.
Right.
So maybe you want to change it if you want more blood.
Yeah, but there were people. There were what?
It
like
was
five
because,
different
was,
countries that changed it in September of 11. I don't remember all of.
I think Great Britain did it first. The problem is that the screening for HIV in blood has been around since the very early 90s. And if you think about the fact that like the HIV is increasing in female populations, in minority populations, like it's been flatlined in the gay community with a spike. In the early 2000s, there was a spike as everybody got complacent about the, well,
right.
There was a very unfortunate spike there for a while. But it has flatlined around, we're not the problem anymore. And you've had a screener in test because because since it's so high in all these other populations, you have to screen all blood for diseases.
But why is it 1 year?
Because
for people that have been with prostitutes, I think it's intravenous, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, no, they do ask
about this. 1 year. And then, but for gay men, it's lifetime. Ban.
Yeah. Right,
Because they're ignorant.
Yeah,
it makes me want to dismount.
Yes, it does.
I just tried to put it in
their face, which is not as dirty as it sounds in Olympic week.
It sounded super dirty.
Now, forgive my ignorance on the topic, but I'm going to guess. This is a two-parter, two questions. One.
I don't think we have time.
Do I need to take notes?
No. If okay,
who are you?
Let's just say.
Who are you?
Let's just say. Yeah, well, apparently just the button pusher of this fucking show.
Okay, I just want to make
sure. So my question is, so let's say that in your office there was a blood drive and you donated. It was all good and you donated, but you just failed to disclose anything. And they didn't suspect anything. Later it was found out that, wait a minute, buddy donated, blah, blah, blah. Can they come back on you? Is there some legal issue?
No.
So there's not
It's
that.
A federal so that, law, from what I understand, that you have to disclose that. Am I mistaken?
But if it's a federal law and you didn't disclose it, can they legally come back on you?
But I don't
they
think
they would have to prove that. They don't ask you if you are gay. They ask you if you've had sex with another man any time since
1977.
They can't prove that I have. In fact, they'd be hard-pressed to prove that I have.
Maybe in the 80s or 90s even. I'm not sure.
Because when was the last time you dismounted a man?
I was just going there.
If I ever had the opportunity, I will not dismount. I'd be like, you're not going anywhere.
So
I
am in heat. So then my other question is...
I'll wait here till you're up again. Part two.
So my other question is, if it's going back to 77, 78, again, forgive my ignorance of this. Nope, I've not had to deal with it. My question is... With regards to that, was this put in place?
Back in 85.
It was in 85.
Yeah.
So my guess is it's a knee-jerk reaction based on when the first statuses all started popping up.
And there was no... And the band played on.
And the band played on.
And the band played on is our reference here. And I have the book at home. It's one of the best written books.
Oh, I need to read the book.
Best research books ever. And they made a fabulous movie out of it. And it is the... you said them earlier. It is the Red Cross. It is the United Blood Services, and it's the fact that they wouldn't screen the blood for a couple years as the crisis was amping up. They wouldn't screen the blood, and they were giving tainted transfusions to patients.
Hence, Ryan White.
And there's a big thing in And the Bad Played On where the one doctor says to them, just tell me when it's cost-effective to stop killing people.
Right.
Like, at what point is the testing of blood cost-effective? And that's when you knew that as soon as they made it cost-effective, as soon as they got that down, like the one guy who famously said, I don't want to die of red tape.
Right.
There's all those famous quotes from back then. But when they finally got that screening in place, and it was very soon afterwards, I want to say they had the screening for blood in place by 80. I want to say it's just after Reagan left or just before Reagan left. That was like one of the big pushes of the crisis was stop giving hemophiliacs AIDS. Like,
right.
That's the thing is in 2012, as it has been for almost two decades now, there is no reason to simply not allow someone to donate because they've had sex.
Correct.
The screening is there.
Right.
It is for any other person who maybe they haven't had sex with a man, but maybe they have other history of
a woman who has sex.
The whole thing of the sex on the
DL. Or a horse.
Like,
or a cow.
Let's say you just, you know, dismounted your man.
Right.
How many times are you going to use that word? Hey,
until we're all doing it well. Drunk.
Hour three is going to be drunk.
Damn it, I brought this up and I have to pee.
So...
What
were we just talking about?
Blood donation. And I don't know.
You talk.
I don't know. But so to stop the screening, that maybe if you just said they wouldn't bother to screen the blood if you said you... Oh, I know. I'm right back on track. So they eliminate the people that they don't want to bother to screen. They'll just say, if you've done IV drugs in the last 6 months, the risk is too high. We don't want to put your blood through the spinner.
Right.
If you've had unprotected sex in the last 6 months, it's not worth putting your blood through the spinner. The problem is everybody's blood has to go in because, let's say, Sally dismounts her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoa. Marnie's going to hate me for saying this when she's gone. Let's say Michelle Bachman... gets off the gay guy.
Her husband?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
With their hoochie still dripping the goods. And then he goes and gets butt-fucked by the eight people that are probably doing it because he's gayer than Christmas.
Yeah.
She's the person you have to worry about because she's turning a blind eye to her gay husband who's having sex on the DL. There's your issue.
Right.
Is these people that are inadvertently getting the disease from... someone that's lying. So they're doing the magnanimous thing of donating blood, not realizing that Michelle Bachman's sleeping with a queer who's probably spreading disease all over the place. So I think that's the second worst thing I've ever said about a person.
Please send all emails to Q-Talk America.
Well, last week I had to remind people that Charles Manson didn't kill anybody either, so Joe Paterno's no
fan.
Tonight we've touched on Chick-fil-A and blood donations. Let's not talk about Joe Paterno.
Yeah, he's been out of the news. Thank you.
You know one of my favorite things is in regards to people we don't want to mention is so many of the media outlets in regards to the killer from the gunman or whatever, however they're calling it, from Aurora. They're not giving him his. They're not giving his name out. I love that.
There was a great. There was a great plea from the father of one of the victims. The one that really he really went on the news in support of like getting his son. I want to say his name was Alex, the victim. And again, that's the horrible part is you forget the name so fast. And his thing was he challenged Anderson Cooper on the air to not say his name and not make him a celebrity.
That was brother of Jessica Gowie.
No, it was a father. It was
the started it.
Oh, but
the first one that challenged.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah, the one. Well, either way, but it was a family member, but it was an amazing. And people have stuck with it, and now that Whoopi Goldberg is doing the same thing, is they're trying to like just give him a title and not say his name.
The gunman or the whatever.
Right, because
that really
does play a part in glorifying the perpetrator, if you will.
I totally agree with
that. But luckily, I forgot his name too, because I forget everybody's name.
The only weird thing to me is his last name is connected to my family in regards. It's a marriage of a marriage, so there's a last name affiliation. So I was like, it makes me wonder if somewhere down the line, though not blood, is there some sort of a relative thing? But I went through all the names and I checked them off, and I don't think he's any of them. I think I'm in the clear. I'm not sure.
Nice. You know, I need to.
So dismount that word.
Dismount, have a beverage. I would. My God.
So sure. I mentioned at the top of the show that my exile is over this weekend.
I like how you're bringing it all back together, buddy.
It's full circle.
It is. Yes.
And I wanted to, not that.
Do I need music for this?
No.
Oh, okay. I'd like to play. Yo, come on. We need some music.
What kind of music?
Well, let's see. How about, I don't
royalty
care.
Royalty-free music?
It's royalty-free. It's called I Don't Care.
Oh.
It sounds like those horns from soccer.
It does. I was going to say it sounds like the opening ceremonies of the Olympics.
People inside the gay bars are thinking, dun-dun-dun, buddy's going to be here.
No, I just wanted to, not that she's listening, or he's listening, but this weekend, my good friend Richie Black, who's also known as Celia Putty, is stepping down from Miss Gay Arizona, which is an honor that he wanted for many, 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 many years before he left and came back.
Oh, well deserved. I can't hear you for some reason.
I had the pleasure of not only being in his talent number last year,
I remember that.
Yes,
but
you were.
Really,
that's right.
Really being an integral part in terms of putting it all together.
I think integral. You think that's a big word to use for what you did?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
What does that word mean?
Really?
Hours
and hours of rehearsal and figuring out who needs to go where at what time and on this beat. You need to cross the stage, and we really put all this props. I mean, Richie,
it was good.
Richie
it
built
was
it all himself.
Sure.
By the way,
I think the word you're looking for is choreography.
Yeah, well, yeah, but although we didn't really dance. But by the way, Richie Black built every piece of that set by himself, so he just loves to do that. But I was lucky enough to do that, and then went to Miss Gay America with him, and helped him there.
I didn't realize you went there.
Yeah, where he made top 10 again. But he's stepping down this weekend, and I'm just really happy because this is like the thing he's wanted more in life. And so, congratulations, Celia Putty.
A great talent.
Well, absolutely. I had the fortune of watching not only a couple of rehearsals as I was DJing the pageant. Mm. You guys were rehearsing, so I got to see it a few times there. And then I saw the night of the performance, and then I saw it also out at Tempe Arts Center when it was performed. So I've seen it several times, and the execution
there
was wonderful.
Was particularly. Preliminary night at Charlie's, because that was the first time anyone saw it, really, other than the people who had seen it in rehearsal. The feeling that it was just
you nailed
amazing.
It. No, so when that it all comes together, amazing. I don't care what you're doing. If you're herding cats, I mean, as long if it comes together and you get and you execute it and it's on, that feeling's always wonderful.
Now, did it have something to do with Sunset Boulevard?
Yes.
Or dismounting anything?
Anytime you dismount something with a lovely stuck landing.
Right. No, the thing was with the deal was she walks out on set as Norma Desmond, and she's there and she's looking around.
I've come home at last.
Right.
And then the set falls on her, and it turns into a dream sequence where the game shows, and she's
the set is a big. It's just a wall, and then there's a big Sunset Boulevard street sign, and the street sign falls and knocks her down.
Yes, I did get to see a big chunk of it, but then I was drinking.
It was
you can YouTube it.
I did dismount her performance to go to the bar and get another drink.
And then it opens up to a game show set.
Yes.
She gets electrocuted in the electric chair and
watching.
Blah, blah, blah.
Watching that number, because she's sitting in the electric chair and she's strapped in, and the only thing that'll save her is a call from the governor or the president or whoever the hell it is. So the phone is like, it's like if my hand, like that far away. It's just you can't reach the phone. And then Buddy and was it Bill?
No, Corey was there.
Corey, we're standing just at the side of her, and they won't pick up the phone.
And this is during this, she's trying to reach the phone. Oh dear God, it must be him.
Yeah, it must
or
be
I
him.
Will die. It's just brilliant.
It was very funny.
She's a very funny lady.
I have theories that he has spent many hours smoking pot and watching a lot of black and white TV. That's where I think this comes from over the years, you know. Watching I Love Lucy episodes and getting baked.
Watching so so much
well
TV.
Played.
Last Sunday, and this is one of the things that my mom got me into DVRing because I'm never up early enough to watch it, but I really get a kick out of the stories and the way that they put it together, a CBS Sunday morning. So many of the stories, like Mo Rocca he goes into some weird stories and they interview and they talk to different people. One of the stories last week was Judge Judy.
Oh.
Judith Shineland.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching it, and I think it's very interesting to find out that she was through family court and all the different things and how she got to where she is. And every time I see her, all I can think of is Celia when she did her Judge Judy number.
Right.
I love it. It's just so funny. And do you remember back in the day when she did it at Winx and Peter Grosskopf, and she kept calling him Peter Grosskopf? Do you remember that?
No.
Peter's last name was Grosskopf.
Yeah.
And it was a live show, and he was on stage with her, and she kept going.
Why was he on stage with her?
It was some fundraiser, and it was him.
Oh, okay.
She was doing some sort of a skit between him and somebody else, and she kept calling him Grosskopf.
Nice.
Now, but did she dismount it because it was Grosskopf?
Oh, well played. Through your filiberto.
You really want to dismount a Grosskopf as quickly as you can.
Is that?
Well, I would enjoy it for a little while, because it's like pizza.
Even
shitty,
bad,
it's still a cock.
Well, if it's shitty,
no.
If it's shitty, going.
That's why you dismounted. Yeah, that's why you dismounted there.
Well played.
I don't. What?
So I have a couple of other things that are kind of fun, but that's just me.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not sure what that was. Okay.
That's kind of a sad, kind of weird thing. Dismount whatever you're doing.
Okay, go. Marnie.
So Al said a lot of things on Friday that he may or may not remember, allegedly, and I just wrote them down. So I'm wondering
Can you wrap this up in about 4 or 5 minutes?
It's less than that, actually.
Good, because we have a question.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Isn't that fun? Al talks.
Go.
Nobody ever says shut up.
I can't
That's
stop
fun.
Him.
I know, but you can be great. I know, Doug Wilkie.
Got it.
Meanwhile,
anyway.
The story's still not advancing.
All right, then.
Dismount your bitch and just
Cheeky
keep going.
Cheeky Stan. Do you remember Cheeky Stan?
Cheeky Stan?
As they were going through the Cheeky Stan. Everything was Stan.
Is that a country?
I'm thinking of country.
Oh. That's what
totally. Doug remembers everything, like anything that ended with Stan.
That's exactly what I thought.
He was all about. And then really by the end of the night, that horny thing, really you were. Harrison and I were like, huh? He's not attractive. But you really thought a few of them were. But the Cheeky Stan. And I would have fired my milliner if I had to wear that headgear.
Oh my God.
The Ukraine.
That sounds like a...
We were trying to think that was the gayest sentence ever. Like, I would have fired my fucking milliner if she made me wear that hat.
And then later...
How many people
became
a milliner?
That's why I fired my milliner. He had doves riding bikes.
That I like that part.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, but these are Al-isms.
Right, but will any of that make sense as I watch the opening games?
A bike, you're going to be like, what the fuck?
Oh, I had a feather my
six,
milliner.
6 months from now, when I watch this shit that I recorded, I'll be like, a dove rides a bike.
Something about a dove riding a bike. The Bugler's Dream, written by Leo Arnaud, am I saying that correctly?
Sure, I didn't know either.
But well, I wrote it down when we looked it up, because I'm good like that. So there was that. The Cheeky Stand was my favorite, though.
We were just running out of Cheeky Stand.
Cheeky
Who gives
Stan.
A shit?
But my last favorite doesn't have anything to do with... Oh, actually, that's a lie. The one other Olympic thing that cracked me up was going to the women's sand volleyball that Al thought I might have a comment on. Did you guys see the U.S. play the Australian?
I did see that. Okay. With that dykey older woman?
Total dykey older woman.
Oh, yeah. But
by the way, and fuck you for the older woman, because she's only 38.
Older compared to most of them.
I thought maybe Coach from Glee was there. I wasn't sure.
Now,
that's what she looked like. But
you backed up from the dismount?
Yeah. It was after the dismount. But what I loved was that there was this new rule this year that came out that the women typically wear like a bikini, top and bottoms.
I don't think it was a rule. I think it was weather related.
That's what we talked about on Friday, and I was like,
because
I don't
buy
that.
Because I've seen matches since then where they are wearing the bikini.
Really? Okay, so I have not. Okay, so
somebody had made a Facebook comment about like, oh man, the beach volleyball players are wearing bikinis over t-shirts. Boo, you know, whatever. And I pointed out, it's cold right now.
Okay, so I have to tell you, I thought that I... Well, now I'm annoyed because I thought it was a little tongue-in-cheek and cute because the women for the U.S. were, I thought, very tasteful, you know, whatever, their bikini bottoms and then the shirts. But the women for Australia were wearing outfits that looked then like they had a sports bra on or like a bikini top over their long sleeve shirts.
They're not the only team, too. I've seen other teams.
You did.
That
see,
too.
I did not. Well, fuck my news.
It was only
anyway.
It was only like 65 to 70 in the daytime.
Okay.
And it wasn't really a beach.
Got
it's
it.
Actually in the middle of a state. It's like
I have to say, that's a fucking awesome venue, though, the location for beach volleyball and everything that's surrounding
I dismount
it.
The story.
Amazing. Amazing. But apparently the sand is like really cold. Because
okay.
I've played in the, you know, November, December, January in the sand volleyball courts at Steel Park here.
Okay.
And that sand is cold.
That's cold. Okay.
I can only imagine what it is in London.
I did. I thought that was a... So I thought it was cute that Australia had
and
done
we
that.
Apparently,
no.
We taught Harrison the phrase cum gutters, which she had never
heard
of.
I've never
heard
that.
There's a lot of that.
What's happening? I've never heard
that. She decided that cum gutters was...
Are you serious?
I swear to Jesus. Why would I lie?
Where are your pictures?
I'm dismounting.
Buddy, show her on pictures. There's got to be on pictures.
I'm dismounting. We're dismounting.
There's got to be a picture. One of the handouts I had earlier, there's got to be...
Somebody's got to be showing their
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, what?
It's not the one of Marnie and Aaron.
What am I looking for? I can be considered a cum gutter. You can
Are there not?
What am I? I don't know what I'm...
Cum gutters.
What the hell's a cum gutter?
Oh, Jesus Christ. We'll have to...
It's on him.
It's not... We'll find it.
It's
on him.
It's on your right hand.
It's right there. Look.
The cum gutter's on your right hand.
Can you see it? Can you see it?
No.
Oh. What? Okay, I'm going to stand up.
Oh,
I don't have
are you showing me? Because that's going to make me vomit. What are you doing?
So let me move this mic up. Okay, so if that...
Listeners at home, Google this word and see what comes up.
When the muscles of the boy have these two lines that go down here, and they're virtually indentations.
Yes.
They're like gutters.
Yeah, not abs.
Yes.
So like they have a six pack and they've got these two lines that run down into their shorts.
God, Jesus, you boys.
Mine are aqueducts.
It's how you
mine's
how
a
you
keg. Mine's
it's
a keg.
The
so
easiest
thanks.
Way for the cum to get off your stomach.
Mine's a
after you after right. you've dismounted
I'm dismounting
your
this whole thing.
Mine's a chunnel.
It's a chunnel. Because it's big enough to lead to fucking London.
Yes. That's where Lewis Smith is. So
yeah, you're like the freedom train.
Oh,
in my chunnel and ride into London.
Well, I could just vomit.
All right, we're going to go into our final segment of the...
Oh, no, seriously, vomit.
For the love of God. Al, just take it away.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Does anyone else have any booze? Because I didn't bring enough for the third hour.
Yes.
What booze do you? I have a beer. I don't have any vodka. I have a little Crown left, but I have beer. Do you want an ultra?
No. I'm good for now. I'm saying there's a whole hour.
Yeah. Oh no! Right. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I never thought about that.
I didn't.
Yeah. For those of you listening at home or wherever the hell you're listening,
I'm afraid I can't answer that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Siri. What the fuck? How did I lose that?
What is it?
For the love of God, Doug Wilkie is going
to
take part of hour three, and he's Googling information about cum gutters.
No, I have to describe it to somebody.
He's doing visuals for the people in the chat room.
It's lower
abdominal.
It's lower abdominal.
Somebody take a picture.
Lower abdominal muscles that nobody on this cast has.
Right.
Tyler N said maybe Crystal Palin was a cum gutter.
I know, but that makes her sound attractive. So I'm going to dismount from that.
I'm
going to
dismount that bullshit. Right
okay.
Now.
Here's
she's a whore.
Now, oddly, this week usually our questions come from Al because he's not only the more mature of our cast, but I defer. No, but I don't mean that rude. What I mean is,
I think you do.
No, I don't because he has knowledge. I mean, okay, I know vacuums and leaf blowers. He's got more knowledge of not only
useless trivia.
Useless. Thank you for saying it. All kinds of information that I don't know. And he has life experiences that I'll never have, and that's fine and well. So I usually defer to Al in regards to this question. But this came to me today in an interview. I heard of somebody else. They were talking about it. Actually, it wasn't an interview. It was on radio. And I realized that Marnie has never been, like, this is the first time you've ever done anything that's, like, radio or broadcast related. Buddy, I know you've done it before.
Yes.
You've done it. Al's been on stage and screen, be it big or small.
I did do a student film. I did do a student film that was not porn.
So, I've dismounted things.
So
well, I'm sure you have.
Aaron,
hello!
Aaron, don't call in just yet. I'm just going to check. No,
hello.
No calls in queue. We're good. here's the question that I came up with that I thought about earlier today. Some people can handle celebrity in different ways. I have been fortunate. I have been in obviously submerged in it since right out of high school. I've been around. I made a name for myself, and I did very well here in Phoenix. I've got a great family of not only my community, my mom, my friends that are my family, just like you guys. But there are, in regards to dating or being around people, there are certain people who will not or cannot handle public spotlight.
Wow.
Who can't handle public spotlight, regardless of any level of that. Now, even though I think your name is known well, but you do, buddy, you do a really good job of being behind the scenes, and you lie low, because yeah. I don't think you like the spotlight that much.
No.
You're fine with being in here because it's just, we're amongst friends.
Well, I know we're running out of time, but for me, a really quick explanation is, I love spotlight when I'm, quote, on the stage, and like this is being on a stage, hosting an event, doing a murder mystery, doing a comedy show like I used to do, anything that where there's like a fourth wall.
I
love that spotlight. Otherwise, when I'm out being myself, I don't like the spotlight.
Okay, so the question then is, in regards to if you meet somebody and you like them and it's all going well, and then they find out what you do or some aspect of your life is that person. And I have dealt with this numerous times because everybody knows me. When I'm at the bar, everybody knows me. And I don't remember names. I'm just like you, Al. I don't remember names for shit. I remember your face. I remember maybe where I met you, but I don't remember your name, blah, 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 blah. So the question really is, in regards to that, how do you deal with if somebody comes into your life and you, hey, I do a radio show on Tuesdays, or I host shows at a bar, or I work in a bar like you did for many years. Some people freak out in regards to that. I'm wondering, how did you deal with that, or was it a deal breaker? And I guess we'll start with Marnie.
God damn you. I really did. I looked at Al. I'm like, he's going to go to Buddy. I was
no!
excited. Well, I call bullshit, and I dismount this question. Touche.
Would you like to pass to somebody
well,
else?
No, not at all. I'm very famous.
We don't offer that.
I'm very famous. And I handle that with a great deal of... What the fuck is wrong with you? What are you laughing about?
No, because you've never, ever in your life referred yourself as very famous.
I'm very famous.
You are almost wallflower.
I'm so well known.
Okay.
I'm, do you disagree? Apparently. You know, fine.
I'm listening.
Yes. Because I don't know how to answer the question, I'm waffling and dismounting.
No, but I'm saying, okay, no, then let's change
well,
it a little
bit. Well, because I haven't been famous. I haven't
okay,
been, but which if, I'm still not.
But you're often in the center of attention.
Oh, I always will be.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Right, so now you got to deal
so
with that.
You've been, but you were a bartender for many years in the Valley and various bars, so everybody knew you. So in regards to that, if somebody said or met you, and they didn't realize you were a bartender, but all of a sudden they realize that behind the bar, 80 people are, Marnie, and they shake your hand and they hug you
how
or whatever.
How are you and blah, blah, blah.
A lot of people are very insecure with that.
Well... Yes, and quite frankly, I become a little bit insecure on the other side because I hate that perhaps I don't remember their name. I hate that part. Like, you know, but I'll remember what you drink.
Right, all bartenders do.
Okay, we're talking about, but like Clayton's question is about, you're in a partnered relationship, so it's hard for you, but I think Clayton's question is about meeting someone in that romantic way and then they find out your status in the community. Does that, you know, how do you deal with that?
Well, for 8 years I wasn't, so I can certainly go to that. You know, if I'm going on the right track here, people become a little bit weird and jealous and kind of freaky about the whole thing. And I'm not okay with that. I'm a jealous person to a degree. And I'll admit that. But that's only when I think you're being dishonest with me. And but when it comes to people being like, why is she talking to you? What is that about? Oh, shut
so
up.
So were you ever able to, like, get the relationship back from the jaws of that? Is, I think, right?
Oh, no.
What you're trying to say,
no.
Like...
No, and because I was never in that position at that time. I mean, there were people that I was with. It was very short term. It was very non-existent, thank God. But it was whenever they'd come into the bar and they'd be sitting there and want my attention, but I had to give it to other people. And then they'd become upset.
Because that was
with
your
that.
Job.
Because that was my job.
Right.
And then they'd become upset with that. Or if I was putting on some kind of a fundraiser, if I was doing whatever and I wasn't giving them enough attention. Shut up. Are you kidding me? You know,
this is my job.
This is my job. And this is what I'm doing. And I'm trying to help raise money for this great cause. And you should be supporting me, not trying to bring me down. Because of that.
Because at the end of the night, I'm going home with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think we'll vote deal breaker on yours. That mostly it turned into a deal breaker.
Oh, it'd be a deal breaker for sure. If
right.
You couldn't handle
that.
Is
that how your question,
yeah.
You mean? Like, were you able to, like, snatch it from the jaws of death?
Well, I'm not even going to the point of jaws of death. It's just like, met you, were red flags. Was there initially, you are too much out there for me. Like, even
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
Just even that. Like,
it's
not
an
even
earthquake.
Just a deal breaker from the onset. Not even just getting into it 6-8 months and all of a sudden finding out. I think more often than not, it's a deal breaker from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people hide themselves from the beginning. I've always, like, I have this weird thing about 180 days. And that everybody, it's not 6 months, it's 180 days. And everyone presents themselves to you beautifully for 180 days.
They can hold that face.
And right. Then they start
and then
farting
at
one,
at
home.
And then it, no, it's not about
dismounting
that.
Dismounting the toilet.
At 181, suddenly it's like they're pulling off this mask and they're all, you know.
Right, Jekyll and Hyde.
Is that your friend?
What?
Mike D, is that your friend?
Yes.
He said, damn right she's famous. And I said, I've been getting more famous every day. And he said, she was my 11th grade prom date.
Oh.
So now how did he deal with your 11th grade fame?
Well, he handled it quite well. Thank you.
So, do we get a full answer from Buddy?
Nope.
No.
Okay,
no.
So Marnie was first. So let's go. Let's go. Wait, do you want to flip a coin? You too?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, this is a very good question for me because I met someone many years ago at Charlie's.
Okay.
So we met in a bar. And our relationship, as short as it was a lot of going out dancing because we were both like dancing at that time, if you can believe it. So we'd
really?
Go out.
I can't envision you
I
dancing.
Can't
so
at
we would
all.
Go out drinking
that.
And dancing. And over the course of a few years, we would drift apart, run into each other, and start spending time together again, and then drift apart again. And he's the one who got away. He's
okay.
Like the one.
Right.
And a few years into this whole, like, running into each other, hanging out, he finally told me, he's like, I have a really hard time when we go out and everybody knows you.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know what I can do about that. Because he's just...
There's nothing you can
private,
do about that.
He's a very private person. That it's just the way he is. We would actually go to Charlie's.
Yes.
And we would walk into Charlie's and I would be like, nobody say hello to me. I would be that way. You
which
know,
isn't you.
I know, but I wanted to
right,
be
no,
with him so badly.
No, I get you.
I was like, please let us come here tonight, and nobody says hello to me. But, of course, you know, 500 people are like,
sure.
Hey, buddy, blah, blah, blah. Like, and so that killed it. That was the deal breaker for him, for us.
Right.
And
but
I haven't figured out how to.
Were you able to introduce him to all those 500 people that were saying hello?
I didn't want to.
Okay.
It's not
okay. Because I'm going to say
yeah.
I couldn't.
At its point, it's
like,
just not technically possible. Like you
right.
Just,
you can't
you know
remember.
What I mean? Like,
right.
I'll sit next to Clayton at Charlie's and yep. Like the March of the Siamese Children starts.
Yeah.
We are Japanese.
Yeah. After Siamese child number two comes up, I'm like, you can stop introducing
right.
me because I really
told,
don't care.
It should be, we are Mexican,
no.
If you please. I'm sorry, not yeah. The same.
And I even, I told Eric,
we
well, now
are
I,
all
I've said his name.
Four.
I told Eric at one point, I'm like, if I bother to introduce you to someone, that means that it's someone I
want you to know. Right.
Otherwise, it's don't worry about it. I'm not going to introduce you to every fucking
and you can't because well, first of all, they all become honey, darling,
right.
Sweetie.
Yeah, darling. Yeah.
You don't
sweetie,
know any.
Darling.
You know their face. I saw you last week. I saw you 6 months ago. I don't remember your name. You remember me because I'm on a not a billboard, but like I'm
right.
In a magazine or there are flyers. Like I'm handing out flyers this fucking show every 7 minutes. So
totally.
Yeah, we're on that. So no, but I that's cool. I didn't realize that about you. That's interesting.
So,
I didn't.
Yeah, that was the deal breaker. You know, and I nothing I can do about it.
Because you're not going to not be you.
Right.
Obviously. So you had to dismount that relationship. Okay.
Oh! I call them, woo, as we mount again. I call them I call my gentlemen callers most of the time they're
sounds like you have
you're
a business.
Stupid. They're mostly personality vampires that think that by hooking up with me, they're going to get some part of my.
Oh. And I've had that too.
They're going to leech off of you.
They're going to leech off of me, and somehow people are going to think they're funnier or they're really just louder. If you're standing, next
than
to
you?
Me, or that. And I used to say this all the time about the bar, and Doug does this at restaurants where he's like, I can't believe this person doesn't remember what I do. I'm the checkout girl at Safeway. I don't give a shit who you are. Pay your bill. If I remember your name, I remember your name. But the next time you come in, oh fucking well.
Right.
I'm here to do a job. You're eating dinner. I'm not part of the entertainment. And that was the thing at working at BS West for all those years, that people would confuse me for someone that knew them or liked them. And it's like, I don't. Like, I'm at my job, and sometimes I'm dealing with something at home personally that I'm not part of. But then the flip thing would happen where I would want to go, oh, I want to go out and play darts, or I want to go to somewhere and sing karaoke or something and just be anonymous.
Right.
And it's such a small community, it just wouldn't happen. And the fact that I'm a little loud, I'm a little...
You?
A little.
This is so weird. I'm dismounting.
I'm almost sometimes. Dismounting, yeah. Right.
So it's the curse that comes upon me. And one time I wanted to go for a date with somebody. I'm like, well, we can't go to Durant's because everybody at Durant's
Jesus,
kind of like...
no, not you.
They're kind enough at Durant's that if we sit at the bar, the three bartenders know me and they'll make a drink about how much I drink, or they'll say something about how much I'm there. And they'll make a joke that to me it'll be funny, but, you know, might strike them as...
They won't get it.
...drinking problem. So we go somewhere... We go somewhere else for dinner.
We've kind of outed all of ourselves on that, haven't we?
What?
So we go somewhere else for dinner, and the wait staff of Durant's drinks here after the bar closes.
Right! I remember the story!
They come up, and they're like, hi, Al! And they're telling stories about me drinking and eating, and I'm like, well, I should have just gone there and gotten better food than this shit-ass place.
And y'all wouldn't have been there.
And put up the same fucking stories. So it's hard to get that right personality. The two big personality relationships, I think, are very hard. Someone has to just take the
back seat.
Back seat to, and it's a personality thing. Like,
and that will not be me.
No, and it just isn't. I don't even know how to use shy in a sentence, let alone like...
True.
Yeah, I'm either. True. If the only reason I'm shy is because I'm ignoring you.
Harrison says Al runs into people he knows when he comes to visit me, and it irritates the crowd.
I do. We at the top of the park in San Diego because it's a gay bar next to Phoenix. And there was one year that we were all together, and it was the height of the BS West thing and the BS West show. And I could not get from the cab to the curb, in the immortal words of the Pretenders, without like, hi Al. Oh, sweet Jesus, it's just Phoenix West,
right. It's BS West.
And one infamous year in New York City, the Halloween that we were talking about, the World Series and all that stuff, I'm waiting in line for the bathroom at the Monster, I think it was Monster in New York, and someone, we're making conversation because it's a long line, it's actual Halloween night, and this, I asked where I'm from, I said Phoenix, he's like, oh, I was just there, I went to this fabulous show in Arizona at a bar in Arizona. I'm like, you went to what kind of show? He's like, a big drag show. I'm like, was the bar called PS West? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I was in that show. I'm like, what was your favorite part? He's like, oh my god, they did the Moulin Rouge number.
Oh,
and he's
my
like,
god.
And I think it was a guy, was pink, and was in like a bustier, and like was having so much fun and doing
like,
crotch.
Guilty!
I'm like, that was me. And I'm like, okay,
I've been there, done that, dismounted that.
But so that kind of stuff gets you laid though, because I had sex with that guy. So I can't answer the permanent relationship, but that got me laid because he knew what my legs were.
Dismounted at the end of the night.
So Clayton McKee.
Because I know we get cut off in 7 minutes. Why don't we'll wrap this up?
Oh, wait, and then 7 minutes.
9:09
is when we get broadcast.
I'm about to pee in this Michelob Ultra bottle.
I'll hurry this up. It's all right. The interesting thing about this to me is, and what Al just said is, two dominant relationships in regards to any celebrity, I think it's a challenge. I was with, you're going to know exactly where I'm going.
I knew where you're going.
And he may be listening, and I don't know. Aside from my infidelities within the relationship, which I have fully on admitted, and I own.
If you don't pet the cat, she's not going to stay on the porch.
Yeah. This puppy didn't stand. That's what happens. But one of the things...
You're going to dismount the porch.
Please get off the porch.
But one of the things that I knew in regards to the whole relationship was this. He was in showbiz. He was used to being the star of the show, and he was a headliner, and he should have been because he was good at what he did everything right. But when he came back home, back to Phoenix, I was the one who everybody knew. I was the DJ of this show, or I was in that show, or I was hosting this, yada, 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 yada. So everywhere we went, it was...
People responded to you.
They responded to me, not him. But he's gonna bow out. But
you need
he's
the code to get back in.
Do you have it?
Prop the door.
He's got the code on
we'll
the
phone. We'll edit that in post. Yeah.
So the deal was that everywhere we went, it was everybody knowing me and not remembering him. And it was like you were saying, you can't introduce him to everybody. I don't remember everybody.
Yeah.
So I have always felt that a big part of that relationship, and I think other relationships, potential relationships, excuse me, have been kind of cut off because they're like, I can't deal with that. I can't. You're big. And I really do feel this in regards to...
And you mean in personality. You're big.
No, right. I have a big personality.
Wow. She didn't... Ooh, wow. You're just cutting dates left and right. He's tiny.
But
dismount will be easy.
What?
Again, there's a guy that I've been texting back and forth with for weeks. And the big challenge is he has a choke point of... I walk into any bar, any restaurant within the community,
I'm gonna let it go.
And he's like, okay,
but,
you know
but
everybody.
But now you have to find those different places to go. You have to find those places, and I know you like to be brand loyal and stick with where your job has...
True.
You know, you like to stick with where you work, yes, and that's good to be supportive of the bars that you're a part of. But at the same time, then you have to start putting a relationship first, and you have to go to places where no one knows your name, which you'll find... And I did it when I stopped working at the bar. When people didn't know me anymore, it started to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, the first time I went into a bar,
I didn't get a free drink.
I was like, do you know
who I
am?
The first time I went to a bar and I didn't get a free drink, I'm like, wait a minute. This is a gay bar, right?
I'm paying full price? What?
Right, right.
Yeah, no.
Right. And the first time I had to wait for a drink in a gay bar, I'm like, are you fucking high?
Right. And I think
there should be a vodka rock.
But I think that factors in. But I think
so. You got that's something for you to work on.
No, I agree with that to a point. From the standpoint of, I'm looking at, okay, I'll go there.
Right.
But you have to be able to prove you're putting here. If you can handle this.
Sure.
Right, but only on a part-time basis. And we just had two friends break up over this same thing. I'm dating you, not that bar. And we just had a long-term relationship between two people. And very unceremoniously, because of, that's nice that all these people know you at this bar and you're very comfortable there, but there's days where you have to leave that bar and we have to have a relationship where, and we'll use Charlie's here, that Charlie's is not part, like, you're dating me, so the bar is a bar.
That's right.
We're going to talk about more of that in hour three, because I don't know this story, and we're going to find out more about this. Maybe we'll change the names to protect the impotent, but we'll figure this out.
Because there's nothing to dismount if you're impotent.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
So what we're
going
to do...
Can I go potty?
Yes, we're going to. All right. So what I'm going to do is we're going to end this portion of our show.
Thank you for listening, Harrison. Welcome aboard.
Harrison, yes. Tyler, Jason Carlton was in the chat room.
Jason Carlton was with us. Tyler.
Yes. We're going to start hour three in just a few moments. Hour three, in case you don't know, is a non-broadcast recorded segment of the show. And then it's available for download just a few days after we post the regular show. This is the show with Clayton McKee, Marnie Ryer, Buddy Early, and Al Perkins. Hour three is going to involve the guest villainous Doug Wilkie. Thank you for joining us. It's Q-Talk America. We're here every Tuesday night. You can catch us at Q-Talk America AZ. Excuse me, QTalkAmerica.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Hour 3 on this Tuesday night. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.